welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 125. Coming at you, two-man cast right now. We're waiting for the third guy to show up, hopefully with pants and relatively sane and sober.
It's kind of asking for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Let's just go with pants and sanity?
My sixth grade teacher used to say that you need to be awake and not on drugs.
To succeed in life?
Just to be in his class.
Oh, that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah, seventh grade, whatever, yeah. And I was like, well, that's weird, seventh grade. Why are you putting that thought in my head? Even though I'm already getting high.
Seventh grade?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was like the summer after seventh grade.
Yeah,
think,
that's when I started too, yeah, yeah. I'm like, man, seventh grade. I was getting massively peer pressured at seventh grade.
Right.
Where friends stopped hanging out with me because I wasn't doing stuff and things.
Yeah, what are you,
and I'm
baby?
Like, I don't know what, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And then finally it's like, all right, let's fucking kind of want to have friends again. It's kind of sad. It's also pretty awesome because, you know, drugs in moderation.
Yeah.
You know.
Open up doorways.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bad. But fucking pretty cool also.
Yeah, sometimes there's a window of awesomeness.
Yeah. The first time I took a hit of marijuana.
Yes.
Cigarette. Those, you know, those like deal with it glasses just that came down from the ceiling and they dropped perfectly on my nose.
And then you just, it was a,
like I was the meme.
Yeah, it was a montage of you going through high school just being the coolest fucking dude with your flaming eyeball shoes.
Yes, flaming eyeball shoes.
And your...
And the shirts.
And, yeah, like a flaming bowler shirt.
Yeah, with, like, right. The
flames start at the bottom.
Yes.
And then when they go up to the top, they're wavy and
but
they dissipate.
Unlike a bowling shirt, I did not have my nickname on it, nor my bowling team's logo on the back.
Right.
Because I wasn't in a bowling team.
So you were just, like, a nomad.
I don't even know what I was.
No patch.
I had the... My buttons were dice, though. So, like, two-dimensional dice, where they were... It was a picture, a metal little cast pieces of... I can't talk. Where it looks like you're looking at the dice at an angle, so you can see three sides of it, but it was just a two-dimensional object, you know?
Right, right.
Like, they're really going for the effect.
Yeah, and you were know? Just, like...
They're like, what's that square with dots? Oh, it's not. It's dice. It's a die.
I'm an idiot now, and that guy's cool for tricking me.
Super cool. And then after that, I had eight balls that were bombs. Like the eight ball, magic eight ball. It was that, but it had like a fuse coming off it, like it was a bomb, and that was on my shoes. Like,
how?
I don't know what
much,
this was.
How much no fear apparel did you own?
No, it's Bad Boys. Oh. They're big dogs or what else?
Yeah, big dogs with a AWG.
It's the fucking bulldog flexing his gigantic biceps.
Exactly.
It spikes around his neck. It's like...
With his tribal tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, come at me, bro.
So if you're not familiar with this podcast, we like to dick around for a while, and then we'll eventually get to some magic-related topics.
Life's not all about magic, folks. That's why we are here to supplement. We can't just go into how this tournament that we didn't watch over the weekend was. We have to be realistic here and talk about the other 80% of our lives.
Exactly.
Because 20% is kind of a lot. I mean, there's a lot of hours in a week. And I do have to say, I watch MTG Goldfish, I watch Saffron Olive a whole hell of a lot. Like, hours a week. Hours. Many hours.
I don't watch much. I don't watch much YouTube as in, like, content creation. You know what I mean? Like, I'll go look at funny videos, or if I need to know how to fix something, and I'm an idiot.
You're such an old person.
Yes,
I am. See, young people watch it as, like...
That's
form of entertainment.
That's
like main
their
form
TV
of,
now.
Yes. It's my TV now.
And actually, Heavy Meta did a Christmas episode, and they were talking about how, like, they don't know if their podcast could survive.
Oh, close one.
Yeah, I caught that. They don't know if their podcast could survive because everything is so YouTube-driven now, and it's like vlog. Like, everything is like video and audio where, like, podcasts are kind of falling out of favor.
I don't think podcasts are falling out of favor. Well, my opinion.
Not that it's falling out of favor, but now, like, at least in the Magic community, let's put it that way, that a lot of the content is video-driven these days. You know, with Saffron Olive, Telerian Community College, other people and stuff, mm-hmm. because I don't watch anything, so those are the only two people I know ever.
I stopped watching the Manasaurus.
Yeah, I was getting a little too non-magic-y.
Well, that wasn't so bothersome, even though it is part of it. But I don't know. I just wasn't like Saffronov just does what he does better as far as video, like spoiler videos, you know, for gotcha. New cards or something like that, or set review type stuff. It's just you're getting like a similar personality, but just kind of kicks him out of every category.
With more flair.
Yeah, like 15 pieces of flair.
Okay.
All but, over I mean, his shirt.
That's at all times. That's the minimum.
No, though. Minimum's like 7 or 5. Is that wrong?
I mean, I don't remember.
Oh, maybe it is 15.
I don't remember the quote now.
Then who? What did such and such so and so? He had like 30. I think it was. I think it was 5 and 15.
Okay, maybe it was 5.
Fuck.
But 5 is the minimum.
But I have.
Well, why don't you just make 15 the minimum?
So
if that's what you want.
More than. You're not just, you know, like face palming and, but she's so hot. So like, what
okay,
are you gonna do about it?
Here at Tchotchkes, we wanna develop a form of life.
What celebrity do you find utmost attractive boners?
Kelly Kapowski.
Who's that?
That is Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Like this.
Who's that? Give me another one.
90210.
Oh, I never watched that.
Did you watch Saved by the Bell?
I didn't watch that either.
What did you do when you got home from school?
You know that big hoop, and then you push it with a stick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And there's some cans you'd find, and you'd just kick them until the cows came home.
I did kick a rock once that ricocheted off like another rock or a curb or something like that. Totally broke the window of a car. I was like walking down the street. I kicked it. It ricocheted. It broke the back window of a car, and I ran home and I got caught instantly. Like the person saw me like running back to my house and came over and was like, I think your son, you know, and then I was like probably crying. I don't remember.
Right.
The whole experience was so bad. I blacked out.
Yeah. While this was happening, I was watching cable television, just furiously touching my little penis.
At what age?
I don't know, 12, 13?
Yeah, but like what about 9?
Maybe.
No.
But you're not like, nothing's really happening. You're just kind of like touching the whole area.
I did not do any of that. Not until I did. Like it was like,
you know,
I didn't try, and then I tried, and then that was it. There was no like a year of like not knowing what's going on and whatever. It was just like I saw.
There's do or do not. There's no try.
There is no middle ground of like, oh, right. Yeah, I just feel it. Oh, it feels like something cool. Whatever.
What about when you like hump the bed and you don't know why it feels
never
good,
happened.
But you just keep doing
it. I just started coming right away. That's it. Simple. You're right. It's black and white, dude. It's
so
is
okay.
Or isn't.
Kelly Kapowski,
mm-hmm.
Hot chick on Saved by the
Bell. I'm going to look her up, but
her name is
go
Tiffany
ahead.
Amber Thiessen. There are topless pictures of her. I would suggest looking at those first. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Well, this one just says Tiffany Thiessen.
Okay, are we talking about like modern day? Like,
I don't care. No, this is good. This is
okay,
a good one.
Alicia Silverstone.
Okay.
Yeah?
I recognize her. Yeah, I recognize her. She kind of has like a Karma Electra thing going on.
A little bit. You know, the chick from the Suicide Squad, whatever her name is, I want to know. Yeah, oh, that picture right there.
That's like the best picture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's like
that. Okay, now,
90s glamour shot at the mall.
Margot Robbie. She is a delight.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I'm down with that. And in that movie, too, that was pretty fantastic.
So, okay, I would like to hear your answer as well, but I would like to preface it with this question.
Well, you can give me more people. Give me, like, 2 more.
Jeez, you put me on the spot here. Okay, some redheads. I don't even know her name. She's an actress. She dated Marilyn Manson for a while.
Oh,
she's
man.
She's like not really that well-known of an actress.
I know what you're talking... That's not Christina Ricci, is it?
No.
Okay. Or whatever her name is.
And then also,
in those spikes.
Santa Claus. Mrs. Santa. No, I don't know. So, but I would like to preface this, your answer with this question. Is there, like, someone you find so attractive that, like, when you see a picture or a video or even think of them, you're just like, man, masturbation's in my future. You know what I mean?
No.
No?
Nobody's that attractive. Not even me.
No? Nothing?
No.
You're not like, oh, wow, that's so attractive. Like, I'm definitely going to masturbate today.
No.
Not like right now.
Not at all.
You like plan? You have like a planner and you're like, okay, at 2300
hours. No, I just have, whenever I have free time, I do it. That's it. It's okay. Not like, I'm not thinking about like, man, when I get home, I'm going to fucking pound my dick.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I have there's no feeling ever.
Gotcha.
And then when I look at the clock and I go like, yeah, I got 30 minutes. And then nothing's going on. So and then I just do it.
It's more out of convenience. It's lust.
Absolutely out of convenience and never out of lust.
Okay. That's sad.
Yeah. No passion, bro. No passion. That's it. So I'm a stone cold,
bro. Are you a dad? Like, that's what parents do. They're like, we don't have time to, like, actually do things when we want. We just have to get them in under the clock, under the radar, so the kids don't see.
Yeah, I'm just dad with myself.
Yeah.
No kids and no wife. I mean, I'm a dad. Sure, why not? Let's go with it.
A single dad? That's also depressing. You're painting a very depressing picture.
But it's just how it is.
So let's save it with some of these hot ladies.
I like me, though.
I mean, I like you, too.
Oh, that's pretty nice. That feels good.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to touch myself. Yeah, I get off on compliments. That's my thing.
Okay.
You know, if like anything, it could be just, I guess, like, I'm choosing a TV at Best Buy, and she's like, that's a really good choice. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, sold.
Or he says, that's a really good choice. And I'm like, ooh, wow. Sold. Wow. Like, stuff like that. That's what does it.
Yeah. I think my dog is trying to viciously attack So and Crow right now. So let me go ahead and
coming
help
coming in hot. Are we going to pause it?
No.
You want me to just go? I'm just going to go. We're doing it live. Oh. Jeez, Jiminy Christmas.
I don't know if the dog fucking bit me.
Hello, sir.
He's a bitch when you yell at him.
What dog is this?
The fucking big one, Bowser.
The big Bowser.
I hear clinking clanks.
We got new fucking things.
The Big Lebowser.
Oh yeah. By the way, this. Oh my God.
Spit screens, right?
Okay. pop filters.
Yeah. So these are pop filters.
Spit screens.
You can't really see them right now. For Christmas, my beautiful fiance surprised me early. We didn't podcast last week, but surprised me early. With some pop filters for the cast. So now, those pesky P's and T's and the S's aren't gonna hurt your ear holes so much.
Why do we have sparkling cider by Martinelli's at the table, half drinking right now? Like, you're drinking it in the car on the way over here.
No, I had it for, it was like for lunch. I've been sitting out for a minute, so I was gonna eat it with my food that I left to have from last night and reheated.
So, it's like, interesting. It's,
like, you're overthinking it.
Yeah.
To be honest.
To be honest, fuck you.
So give me some names here.
Jennifer Aniston.
That's
why I bring up the thing. I'm like, man, she's like...
I mean, your voice got prepubescent.
She's always hot.
Yeah.
She's always hot. Like, Horrible Bosses, ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you think that was real, or is that like fake titties?
I think it was
real. No, it's or it's what just the, like the, anything in Hollywood.
Or the other movie, you know what I mean?
What do you want?
Man card.
I don't have it. I haven't had it for a while.
Oh.
I mean, I have it at the house.
You lost your man card. Gotcha.
No, yeah, I lost it too. No, so, I like, all Hollywood cleavage is where, like, they do, like, the fucking blush or some kind of... Yeah, exactly. It gives, like, shadows in the right places to look like the titties are pushed out further than they are, basically. It, like, enhances everything.
I mean, but you saw... In the movie, it wasn't Horrible Bosses. It was that other stupid movie where they're in the RV, like Family something.
I didn't see that one. But
anyways,
she had
there was nipples.
Oh.
There was nipples.
Oh, you should see it then.
I mean...
Whether it's fake or not, mentally, all you care about is...
Well, I'm sure she has perfect nipples, if that's what you're asking.
Do you ever watch Friends? Like, sure, nipples are out all the time.
Yeah, they're perfect.
Well, that's how they got guys to watch sitcoms in the 90s. Yeah. You just... you know, get a little,
it was always cold.
Like Will and Grace.
Cold air on the nipples. Like
Roseanne. Cheers.
Yeah, Norm! Norm!
And everyone's like, oh, I gotta go. I know I only make it 3 minutes into the show every time. I haven't seen a full episode.
Yeah. Okay, so who else?
Let's see here. Super hot. Margot Robbie's for sure on there.
Right.
Right, has to be. I really like Olivia Munn.
Uh-huh.
You like her? Yeah. And that's not because she's the hottest chick ever.
I don't know who that
it's
is.
It's because I watched her on Attack of the Show on G4.
Oh, right, right.
And I was like, this is the hottest chick ever because she's like the whole package.
I counter that argument with Olivia Wilde.
Newton-John?
Olivia Newton-John. Olivia Wilde, what is she in?
She's like, I don't know, she went batshit and she's like kind of, I don't know. She was hot as fuck and I feel like she's like gone downhill a little bit.
Okay, what about Meg Turney?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Meg Turney. We're talking about tops, though, not just like.
Well, I walked into like mid conversation here.
Yeah, she's super hot. But what about her? What's the counter of that? Because like the reason I say
just
that
an
is because
Olivia.
Oh, okay. I
countered your Olivia with my Olivia.
I was thinking it was going to be along the lines that you thought she was also super cool, which then added to the hotness. You just literally think
she seems
hot,
pretty cool,
and her name's Olivia. That's
she always
good.
Plays like the cool like. Yeah, hey, let's get drunk and fuck because, you know, I'm not a pesky girlfriend in the movies sort of person. So I'm like, well, you're cool in my mind, even though that's a character that you play. I hope that some of your real life is seeping into your acting.
Always, always.
Method actor.
Would you have intercourse with Tara Reid right now?
Yes. No.
She's dead.
Is she dead?
Of course I would.
She's dead?
I don't think she's dead.
But what about those pepperoni nipples?
What about everything?
When she gets skinnier again, she loses pepperoni nipples.
No, she's skinny now, but she's like gross skinny.
I haven't seen her for a minute. I still fuck her.
Yeah. Well, now this is just all the women have stopped listening because we're men are pigs. And I'm like, yeah, well, we're having a good time.
Okay, I'm going to... Last one I want to throw in is the chick. What's that X-Men show... where like you couldn't really, you really couldn't tell it was an X-Men show.
Oh, you're talking about from Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Oh, April.
Oh my goodness.
I love April.
Yeah, what is her name?
Something in her eyes and her smile.
We talked about her before. We had a good conversation about her. Like,
It's a very like...
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
So it's all in the face. It's all in the facial expressions and gestures and like...
There's some movie where she's touching herself.
That's amazing.
For real.
Yeah.
Like she had an interview about it where it's like, they asked me to do it and they asked me to like, do it. So like, cause I was in panties so they could see like the whole
Fantastic.
Thing, like a camera from like top of the bed looking down.
God bless America.
And it's like, and she was like, this was pretty weird, you know?
Yeah.
So I was not ready for that day. I was like, we were all not ready for it either.
She's one of those actresses or just women where it's like, the body could kind of be whatever, you know what I mean? Like my favorite dimensions, you know, like whatever. It doesn't have to be those, but like just her face is like there's something about it gets the tingles.
I also like because women don't get it.
What?
You know what I mean? Like women don't get it that why men like her so much,
right?
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's always like it's obviously,
you know, maybe it's like
instant plus of when women don't understand why. Yeah,
maybe it's like for us, maybe women are into Benedict Cumberbatch so much, and you're like, but why? But it's like women are like way into him.
Was that like the prime minister? Or?
Yes,
I don't.
He's always been the prime minister.
Yeah, fantastic.
Since he was a baby in the 1700s, up until
prime minister now. Cock.
Yes.
Hey.
Now he's Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
Sherlock.
He knows who he is. He's just trying.
Yeah,
to
you're just stupid.
No, I literally don't. I don't watch any of those shows.
So, anyways, we had some topics
we wanted
to move on to. We didn't do intros. I don't know what we're gonna do for that. We don't care.
Well, let's just go through some intros because there is stuff I want to talk about. We haven't casted in about a month.
It
seems
you
like.
You want to tell them what's up?
Oh, well, we did do an episode, and we're not going to put it out just because it doesn't fit the style of the cast, you know.
Oh, we ended up nixing
that
one?
Yeah, we're not going to post it. It's not that anything bad was said, it's just it's not our style to go after such topics, so we're just going to leave that one alone. So, do you know that chimneys are fucking dangerous as shit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Benedict Cumber Squatch.
Yeah.
Squatch.
So, dude, people die in chimneys like all the time.
Like
I
every
did not know
second.
That. Every 5 seconds, someone's died. It's an epidemic. They don't put it on the news. So I was talking with a coworker, and he mentioned something. Somehow chimneys got brought up, and he was like, man, like a lot of people die in chimneys. And I'm like, what? And so we started talking about it. I then went to Google it, and there was this page, like, the history of people dying in chimneys. And it was this big, long article, and it dated way back to, like, the chimney sweep kids, you know, who yeah, well, were, like...
That was obviously, like, the height of death, then, for the chimneys.
Yeah, like...
When there was actually a job to clean chimneys, it had to be the height of death.
Yeah, like...
Confined space and children,
one out of every three chimney sweeps died in a chimney.
With toxic fumes, depending on what you burned in there, and, like, it's just lingering, yeah.
So, like, yeah, back in the day, you know, they'd have, like, they'd be the apprentice to the real chimney sweep, and then they'd be like, okay, go down there and, you know, just clean it out.
And master's dead, and he's like, or master's drunk, it's like, okay, your turn today, show me what you got.
Yeah, and then he gets down there and he's stuck, and it's like, well, you know, that was a good run, see you later.
Yeah, we'll charge you half price, I'll see you later.
Enjoy the dead kid.
Yeah.
Removal's on you.
Yeah, just burn him out. And so, like, in the recent, you know, past 100 years or whatever, there's just a myriad of people who are just going down chimneys for whatever reason. Whether
it's Santa, dude. Who doesn't want to be Santa?
Not even like trying to be Santa, like crazy. Some of the stories I read was like crazy ex-girlfriends who are trying to like get back with the boyfriend, and they try and go down the chimney. They get stuck, and the guy like knew she was coming over, so he like dipped out. He like went away for the weekend, you know, came back, dead ex-girlfriend in the chimney. Like,
that's amazing.
I mean, she's still going to be...
Like, and you're like, but it's July. Christmas is so far away.
Even in death, still a pain in the ass. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You look up the chimney, see a dead body, you bitch.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, malfunction.
We got a broken rig here.
Malfunction.
So,
oh, man.
So that was... So if you're wondering, yeah, chimneys surprisingly just deadly as fuck.
Well, I wasn't wondering, but I mean, thank you for the news, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, you know, something that I feel like I need to share. It's facts.
The holidays are dangerous. That's yeah, it.
Dangerous holidays.
We had a safety meeting at work. That was, we do on every Monday. Every Monday, we have like a good 15-minute, you know, talk about whatever. And it was about the holidays and like safety at your home and like talking about electrical cords and like Christmas cooking a fucking turkey and shit like that.
You know,
yeah, exactly. And we're all sitting there like,
fuck you. That's we're my at whole work. Business.
Fuck
yeah.
Off. Like, shut up.
Yeah, can't you just
have to deal
give
with
us
this
pamphlet?
Fucking bullshit safety meeting that you have to do legally. Fuck you about teaching me about my
Yeah, it's about
safety.
Like your fuck life off. At home. I'm like, this isn't, why does this have anything to do with me? Like, or, you know, with work. I don't fucking care about this. So all we were doing was like making fun of it because it was just worded really poorly.
Right.
And it was, they're trying to be like, make jokes, shut the fuck up! And it was bad. So.
Yeah.
Until
Brian
died. Actually yelled, shut the fuck
we
up
all,
to the guy.
We all died.
Yeah.
What's that?
Mid-meeting?
Yes.
So the reason I bring up the chimney sweep story, one, I just, it's disturbingly entertaining to just know that knowledge and know that people, there's someone right now stuck in a chimney dying of asphyxiation.
Deathbychimney.com.
Since Christmas, try to be Santa, and they're like, hey, dad's missing. Fuck him, he left. He got cigarettes, he didn't come home. No, he's just dead in the chimney.
Yep, and all the presents are ruined now. So, one of my coworkers
died in a chimney.
Died in a chimney.
Next topic. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So I don't usually tell.
Go ahead.
Many...
Go ahead. No hurry.
Oh, okay. Thank
get,
you.
Get on it. Get on okay. it. We're listening.
I mean,
we're
Jesus
waiting.
Christ, this is a long chimney story. Yeah. I never heard someone about fucking chimneys. Well, I mean, I love you, but what the fuck is going on?
Sometimes chimneys are long.
I don't love you, and I do love you. There's no joke worth that.
Yeah. My feelings are not. You can't put a price on them. So my coworker. Pretty funny guy. I'd worked with him like maybe a year or so ago, and he left the company and came back.
Do you leave to become a chimney sweeper?
He did, and then he realized the hazards.
Okay.
And got the fuck out of there.
Realized that job doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah, that his
well, I guess
that career
it
went,
totally exists.
That career went up in smoke. Up.
People have.
Hey!
Yeah. So we're talking, you know, and he mentions like he's not on any social media really. Ooh. Except for Twitter. And I'm like, I'm mostly on Twitter too because of my magic
we
podcast.
We become best friends? Yep.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, magic podcast. And like, you know, he had watched me play like magic
he's
online.
He's like, do a trick, bro.
Yeah. Is this your card? Vampire Nighthawk. Yeah. I knew it.
Yes, it like, is what? My card. The rack, that is my card.
So he's like kind of like peer pressuring me, like, come on, dude, like what's your Twitter? And then I was like, I don't really like mix like work and like that my that sort of side of my life. And he like lets it go. And then 5 minutes later we're like talking, and he's like, okay, so what, how do you spell your Twitter handle? I was like, Okay, you're making me laugh. You know, we're having a good rapport. Go ahead. That's my Twitter, and I mostly use it for this podcast I have with my buddies about Magic the Gathering. But it's kind of, and keep in mind, this is a religious rehab facility. So not everyone has a fucked up sense of humor there, because we're all recovering drug addicts. But, you know, I just try and keep a little safe space in between those two worlds. And so I'm like, yeah, you know, we just kind of go over the edge and make like 9/11 jokes. Just don't even like listen to it. You know, it's no big deal. But if you do, he goes and listens to it. And he comes back after he listens to it like the next day or next week or whatever. And he was like, that was actually pretty fucking hilarious. And I was like, oh, thank God. Okay. You didn't send like a link to the boss, did you? Like, get this motherfucker out of here. He's talking about dog dicks.
I think about that when if I ever am successful in this career and keep going forward and become like the vice president of some company when I'm like 50 or something like that. And then I just have to think about, I'm going to have, you know, there's going to be like 300 people that are in my company and they all know my name, but they don't know much about me. But maybe one person, I'll be like, oh my God, I was working with him 20 years ago. I wonder if that podcast is still around that I used to listen to or whatever. And then he could show it and find it, and then like it'll just blow up in the company.
So much company
email jokes going through. And it's like, I have to step down then.
Yeah.
And because Ronald McDonald has no dick.
Well, like, I just got an accounting job handed to me. But, well, handed to me. Fucking interviewed.
It was handed to him.
But like right now, the only thing holding it back is they're doing like a 3-4 week background check. I'm like, I've never gotten caught for any of the shit I've fucking pulled. Like,
well, you never done anything wrong. Oh, we all know you.
Never,
dude. Everyone that's listening right now is like,
I'm the most gritty tissue guy.
Your angel wings are in the mail.
Or like the chick from the dare lady from elementary school. You ain't no fucking angel on a Christmas tree. Said this to me in a meeting with my parents. Side story, but it's kind of funny. Okay. I know, didn't make sense right now, but. All this right now is going to happen. I'm waiting for a background check. I'm like, the literal only thing that might fuck me is if they somehow come across this podcast. I'm supposed to be dealing with health and human services, supposed to like deal with helping people, and I don't give a shit about people. So it's going to be like, oh, wait a second. Maybe we shouldn't hire this guy.
Yeah. We need to shut down the entire branch now because old fucking Sowing Crow, Sam Hain Crow, because they don't know how to pronounce it, right?
I know what he does.
Old Sam Hain Crow fucking ruined it for everybody. Me and this guy have been just riffing back and forth, just like laughing, telling stories, neglecting our work. You know, it's great.
Oh, fuck you. Don't fart and blow it.
So he's telling me some fucked up stories, and somehow I bring up the... I was like, do you know what e-fucked is?
Oh, no.
And he's like, no. And like, no. I think this might be like a little past...
You guys are like... really close friends.
Yeah, like, no. you took it to an actual level. No, with e-fucks. Like, so that's...
We were like...
Corn.
We were cussing and telling fucked up stories, but this was definitely like the next step.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you really cool? And then so I tell him like, okay, there's this thing, Bukkake. He's like, that's when like everyone like... I'm like, yeah, just all honor, wherever, in a mason jar, whatever, you know?
On a My Little Pony.
I did tell him that story later.
You told him that story?
Yeah, I told him after.
Gross.
Gross.
So I'm like, yeah, just look up Korn. I kind of like explain, like, it's like a 5-10 minute documentary about this guy.
Did you tell him you watch it after you finish the cool down?
Is it a dickumentary or is it a cockumentary?
It's a flaccid cockumentary because you can't get it up.
So I told him all this, and I'm like laughing as I'm telling him because he's like, getting kind of grossed out and like not really like chuckling as loud as I am.
You can't get it if you don't watch the video. Just hear it. It's like, what the fuck?
He just thinks you're a strange guy.
Yeah.
You're into a dude who can't get it up, jacking off on a chick who's been came on by 50 other dudes.
But this is like the point where like you can't stop.
No, of course not.
So you just have to keep going. You just have to keep plowing forward hoping that everything's going to work out all right. So then I finish that story. I'm like, oh, by the way, did you hear about this guy who's coming out of my little pony? And I'm just like, well, maybe I
need to take it down a notch.
I think I just ruined this friendship, but you know what? I'll take probably my chances.
Yeah. Did you tell him the big orange head?
I did not tell him the big orange head joke, which next time I see him, I will definitely tell him that. He actually requested to come on the podcast, and I was like, well, you actually need to know a little magic. And he said he had, like, he played Magic on and off, and he basically said he had this burn deck with, like, a shitload of lands. And I was like, okay.
59 lands.
Yeah, 59 lands. One I can cast any red spell I
lightning
want.
Lightning Strike.
Yeah.
Because I got so much mana, who cares?
So he's just playing casual with his buddies. His buddies usually make him decks or whatever, so. So anyways.
So I have something to say.
A fun little work friend.
To So and Crow. Guess who I had a beer with that knows you by chance. I don't even know how the fuck. It was something where I go, do you know so-and-so? I'm saying your name.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh my God. I used to carpool with that guy.
Is this a work dude?
Yeah. Brandon Flory.
I know. Who the fuck?
You guys were carpooling together for Morro Meadows.
Yeah.
You remember that at all?
I know the name.
Anyways, he's this guy. He's like a perfect fit for a group like us, for sure. We get along really well, but he's not interested in Magic the Gathering whatsoever. But anyways, you used to, I guess, for like 6 months or something
Yeah, it was a long trek. That's why I'm usually really good at faces and horrible at names. Right now I recognize the name, but can't picture the face.
So yeah, He just looks like us. Like he just has the same size beard you do. He's just some fucking normal white dude, just regular.
A hairy, slightly overweight white dude.
It's exactly that. Yeah. It's everything that and more. But the guy's like really quick, you know, with the comedies.
Yeah.
And he knew about the... right when I said your name, he's like, oh yeah, the guy that does the fucking Dungeons & Dragons podcast or whatever. And I was like, yes, that's the guy. Yeah. And I'm also on that Dungeons & Dragons. And he was like, oh. I'm out of here. Tab? Yeah, it's like a date.
On that note,
No, but that was really funny though. We were talking about you and how much of a fucking idiot you are and all that stuff.
Makes sense.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I figured you'd know who he was since you guys literally work together and you spend like 10 hours a day together for fucking 6 months. So, but hey, whatever. What do I know?
No, I think we carpooled together. We didn't work together much. I kept getting put with the guy with the tweaker foreman on that. So,
Okay. Anyways,
he'd like literally go to the casino, tweak out, and come back 5 hours later. Well, I'm working on some shit that I hadn't done before, so I'm like trying to figure it out as I go. But my foreman's a tweaker, literally gambling during work and tweaking out. It was interesting.
I could totally do that at my job. They would never know.
By the way, end of this episode, we should talk about Star Wars.
We should, if we do have time, because this is going to be a plump one.
Aren't you leaving?
One.
Okay.
It's going to plump.
What's that?
Aren't you leaving pretty quick?
Yeah, but like not pretty quick. I got like an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, dude, that's barely.
I know.
The intros will be over.
Like, I'm going to talk about shit.
There is no intros. We got too much shit to talk about.
Okay, so, I mean, what? Are we not doing intros?
Oh, like no, we're definitely doing some talking a little bit.
3 minute intro.
I mean, I got like topics over here. I got questions.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's wait for an end of the year episode where we actually sit down and like get into it because we don't have no time. We always make the end of the year episode a long episode.
You guys can go out. Shit. You guys go off. Anyways, okay. Intro.
What's going on?
My dog Louie died.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
It was the most amazing thing that ever happened ever.
So
really sad.
We should have a segment called Dog.
Did he die on Christmas?
Pet mortuary.
Day after Christmas. Yeah, it was fucking awful. He died within like a half hour. He was like, tired dog. And then lungs filled with blood and fluid, and he fucking died. And I got a call, hey, something's wrong with the dog. And I'm like, hey, told my boss, like, I got to go. Like, emergency, I got to go. I don't know what the fuck's happening. I show up, dog's already dead.
Oh, God.
And
it's like blood flowing out of it.
Sorry to the listeners, but here's the nightmare that keeps reliving in my head. Is that I walk into the veterinary place, whatever, right? And I'm walking in, and I say, and he's in an oxygen tank. Right, because like it's like an oxygen tank that like so it makes it way easier for him to breathe. You know, his body has to work
an iron lung
less hard. Yeah. And so I she said the chick behind the counter was like, okay, what room is so and so in? And I'm like, oh, I don't think she's in a room. She said something about being an oxygen tank or whatever. And she's like, just hold on. And so she leads me back to a room because the dogs are dead. They don't need the oxygen tank. She's like in a room, so she has like privacy. So I walk in the door and she's like crying and she was just like. Jace, Louis died. And I'm like, what?
Wait,
like,
your chick or the lady?
My chick. Okay. My chick was like holding him and then like sitting on this couch, whatever. And I just walk in there and she just like looks at me and I'm like, what's up? And she's like, Louis died. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, like it was totally 100% out of the blue.
So that totally crazy. That horrible moment of just walking in.
Yeah, it was that walking in and then seeing her face and her saying that. I was like, this is like the nightmare that I keep. Yeah, yeah. Not at night, but whenever like you're in the shower and you're alone for like that 4 minutes, you're just like,
yeah.
All I'm thinking about is like that fucking moment. You know, dog dying is awful. Yeah. All that stuff, you know, because it's like your buddy, you know, yeah. It's like a very close thing for me. But,
yeah, I would have like the same kind of thing where
it's fucking crazy.
My cat Loki, remember a while back, he got fucking like hit by a car or hit in the back with
right.
like a bat or something like that. And, like, it's like paralyzed and shit. But when we had him in the vet, I picked him up, like, getting ready to kind of say goodbye, like, barely saw the x-rays. And, like, I didn't really realize they took the x-ray and didn't know he was like paralyzed what was going on yet. So I had picked him up, I kind of flipped him over, you can hold a cat on his back. Well, when I did that, before that, his back legs could move. When I flipped him over, like, whatever shifted, so he's, like, now feeling paralyzed and he can't move. So he's looking at this face of just pure shock and terror, of, like, this no idea what's going on. I'm looking at him like, oh, my God, what the fuck? Like, this cat, like, it was, like yeah. mind-fucking.
What did I just do?
Like, he looks so out of control. Like, luckily, he managed to fucking recover. I would have had that same, like, nightmare scenario.
If I'm going
to
get the wiggle in my pants, yeah. It's seeing complete fear in an animal's eyes. That'll do it. That'll make me want to jerk off.
That was fucking horrible.
That'll make me want to jerk off. Just looking at that animal and seeing complete fear, I'm like, that's the ticket right there.
Okay.
But it's so rare, it's like a delicacy.
Yeah,
it's like once every, you know... the eclipse?
It's like a leap year.
Or it's a blue moon.
It's like a leap year.
It's like
when it went to the Olympics. That's when I get. That's when I come. Anyways, gotta have jokes. Super sad about my dog though. Super sad. But you gotta have those jokes because everything's fun. So who cares?
So before
and then my fucking cat died earlier this year.
Yeah.
So I had to hold that cat while it was like. I was holding it while it was like injected and put to sleep.
Right.
Pretty fucking awful. And then this one, I walk in, the fucking dog's already dead. I couldn't even say bye. I'm like, this fucking nightmare of a year this is. I'm just waiting for I'm waiting for like another flood in my house. Like I was waiting, like I come
that
home.
Can be arranged.
I was leaving the hospital, the pet hospital, whatever. And I'm just thinking like, all right, I'm gonna get in a fucking car accident. My house is gonna flood. I'm gonna get fired, and I'm gonna like lose my insurance today without knowing, and then break fucking both legs. Or I'm just like figuring, days is just gonna be just god awful. You know,
you're good now though. Bad shit comes in threes. You flooded, your cat died, and your fucking dog died. You're good now.
Yeah,
things are clear skies.
Well,
ahead.
I mean, the year's about
the flood
to
isn't that bad though. That's just money.
Yeah, but
it
was
like,
shitty.
I'm pretty sure
like other dogs
one of you guys
die.
Are going to die.
So before the dog died, Christmas, good?
Christmas was sweet.
Yeah.
I got a new monitor.
Perfect.
That was not up to snuff because, you know, that shit's like, you got to be picky.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, it has to like match your graphics card in a lot of ways too. So
you got it and then you're like, ah.
Well, my mom really got it for me and she's like, I know this is probably not what you're going to want.
So but here's the receipt.
But, so yeah, exactly. She's like, here's the receipt. Just go trade it in. So I traded in. I got a 27-inch Dell. It's 144 hertz, you know, so 144 frames a second. 1440p. So it's, you know, another whatever, 50% some number. Bigger than 1080p or whatever. But it matches my graphics card because I can't do 4K at like a good, nice frame rate. It would be like 40 to 50 frames a second at 4K.
Gotcha.
So I got that, and it has G-Sync. Which you guys are familiar with G-Sync at all. It's like technology that allows like instead of like the video card spitting out frames per second and the monitor just like figuring out like trying to match that or whatever and just trying to like it's trying to do like 60 frames but it's only spitting out 55 so it's like trying to adapt and like it's like dropping frames slightly here and there like maybe not very noticeable but like whatever. This one actually has, like, it talks to your monitor, and whatever the video card's putting out, it's telling the monitor that that's the frames. It's not just, like, picking it up as a display. It's actually telling it, like, a number, so the monitor flickers at that same rate, and it allows for, like, no
so it's not reactive,
drop frames.
It's, like, proactive.
Yeah. So it doesn't drop frames, and so, like, the smoothness is ramped up big time.
Nice.
You know, it's like when you got the
talking
about those TVs,
yeah.
When they went super, super... super, you know, when they went like to 60 frames a second, whatever,
yeah,
they're
hurting
your eyes.
Seemed
but
weird.
Imagine like the TV knowing that what the output of the DVD was, and then all that fluidity was like perfect, and there was no like stuttering or nothing else.
So this is that like extra like 5-10% we talk about, where it's like, yeah, it was like a lot extra money, but for that extra little 10% makes it
mwah. Yeah. So this is my, you know, my forever monitor.
Right.
Of course, that's not going to be forever, but I mean, I wanted to get something.
2 years monitor.
2 years, yeah. I've had my other one for like, I don't know, 6 years. So, yeah, I figured this one would probably last me like 10, you know, or at least 8 or something. Like a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Like, don't even think about it. There's no reason to even think about it.
Yeah.
Forever. So I got that. I got a waffle maker. That's the Death Star.
Perfect. Perfect.
Pretty dope.
Nice.
I got a lot of shirts. I got a shirt like this right here. It says Schwifty on it. It's got the Adidas logo on there.
Right now, I didn't really look at it.
Yeah.
I'm at the side. I've been trying to read it. So now I'm just having you.
Schwifty. Oh, yeah. Shit on the floor. Take off your pants and your panties. And
you do that really well. You practice.
Thank you. Practice. Yeah, I just on the way over here in the car, like, I'm going to talk about good.
Schwifty.
But I got to let them say it first.
Yeah.
So that I don't actually just so come out natural.
Yeah, please ask me about Christmas. Please ask me about Christmas.
And I got some Star Wars shirts. And I got some gift cards. I got that 23andMe, that chromosome test, where you can learn like where you came from.
Yeah.
So
it's like Mexicans and Genghis Khan, right?
Yes. I don't know.
And then some white guy.
Well, you know what's funny? French too, his last name.
So like, here's a weird thing about me. We're gonna get real personal here.
Yeah.
I don't. This is something I have not told you guys.
Right.
But I don't know. 3/4 of my family. What I mean by that is my biological father had, you know, his obviously two parents. So those are my grandparents.
Right.
I don't know them at all. Right. So I don't know barely anything about him.
Knew that.
So I don't know what that is. But my grandpa that you guys know, that's not my grandpa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like my grandpa as in he's married to my grandma and whatever else. And like the family was like supposed to think that like that's it. But it's like a 99.9% sure that my grandma cheated on him and had my mom. Yeah. God. Well, no, this is when times were different back then.
Yeah, the milkman came.
So, no, he was doing the same thing. It was not like my family is super, like pre-1980, my family, I got many stories, way fucked up.
Swingers.
Super, no, it's like way worse than that. It's like makes like fucking.
Like rapists.
Like, yeah, all kinds of shit like that. It's crazy shit. Yeah. God. Crazy shit like that. So it's like all kinds of
I really want to know
stuff.
Where I came from.
Yeah.
So
3 of my 4 grandparents, I don't know.
That's why you raped dogs.
Yes. Yes. Because I had to do it like on a mild scale. The one that I could probably not even get jail time. Yeah.
The cycle ends with you.
Yeah. So I don't know that. So that's going to be really cool. Because, you know, my mom thinks she knows. And I maybe she does. But I got to be doubtful because I don't know 3/4 of it. You know,
right.
So it'll be really interesting to see if I'm 21%. Fucking Native American, and I can start getting money. That'd be sweet. That'd be pretty sweet.
So you didn't get the result. You just got the cup, and then you
cup. I just got the package that I need to like swab my mouth with or whatever.
Right.
But that's cool. So and I got other stuff. I'm sure I'm missing out on some cool stuff, but the monitor is the big thing. And then you know what I got? This is from my chick's parents. They got me a plaque. Like a plaque that you'd have for like a lawyer's office or whatever.
Okay.
That says Jace LaPierre fiduciary. Like licensed fiduciary. It was like the funniest fucking like a stupid gift. Really stupid, but we didn't do it on the cast, right?
What?
We didn't do this on the cast. Did we talk about the fiduciary thing?
No, we didn't talk about
it. But we did this when we were playing Magic or whatever, where I heard the word fiduciary on a commercial and I'm like, "What the fuck did he just say? What the fuck is a fiduciary?" And everyone, I've asked people what it is, and everyone has two answers. There's, what the fuck is that? And there's, oh, I know what that is, but I have a reason why I know what that is. It's not like, oh, it's just common knowledge. Everyone knows that. Right. It's like, oh, no, it's because I had this thing 5 years ago where we needed whatever, the person or a company that was a fiduciary, yada, yada. Look it up, people. But I thought the word, I'm like, why does this word? It's just... It's the perfect word.
Yeah, you
in like a comedy.
You like frame. Said it to me out of just kind of like out of the blue. Out of context.
I'm just like, bro, you're a fiduciary,
and I was like, ha ha.
You're not good on big words anyway, so
I don't know how words. I don't know how to spell them. I know how to say them pretty well. No big deal.
You just don't know very many of them.
So when you said it, I was like, ha ha. That's some sort of imaginary word that you just combined, and like, good job, you.
It's so funny. Yeah, fadoosh. Like, that's a fucking weird thing.
Like skadoosh.
But you knew what it was, right? Didn't you? I don't remember.
No, there was something else. There was something else. There was something. No, I don't really know if it was. Like, yeah. I know the word, but I can't.
But it's like
I was
some saying sort of like law.
There was a different word you asked me that day.
It's a person that at your interests are above their interests. So like they will do what's in favor of you rather than like what benefits us both or benefits me more than you or you know like kind of like what banks would do with a person or like a loan agency or lawyer type stuff or whatever.
Right.
This is what I learned, of course. And I was at her parents' house, and I just was laughing so much about this word. It was just – every time I would say it, I'm like – I just wanted to make that, like, my joke for the whole night where, you know, stop being such a fiduciary or whatever. And it was funny to me and no one else, and I was, like, tears in my eyes at
the
beginning of it.
That's, like, the best sometimes, though.
Yeah.
You're just gonna
and
keep
so
going.
They wanted to give me some stupid, like, joke gift, and that was that one. It was really funny.
Nice.
That's it. That's my whole thing. Oh, no. Actually, I got to say one last thing. Work. I mean, officially now training to be a foreman at my job on the service side. I switched departments. We haven't casted in a long time, so this is all pretty recent.
Wow,
but I got a phone.
Pretty cool.
I got an iPad. I'm beginning of the year, we're going to be in talks for getting me a fucking truck and all that shit and a laptop and tools and all this whole fucking thing.
And this service job is a lot more stable. But the like, as in, you're not just gonna.
I'm
like,
not. Yeah,
your
I'm
job's
not gonna,
gonna
get,
end, and
yes.
then you're gonna get fucked.
Hours
up.
Are fucking it, all over the place.
Right, but the hours.
But I'm not losing my job.
Right.
Right. So that's even if like for some reason I'm kicked out of the service department, I'm not kicked out of the company. I'll just go somewhere else.
Right.
But I'm in talks. You know, I'm in training to be a foreman, and the foreman shit. I'm looking at like now that I have the fucking iPad and the phone, I am learning how much fucking paperwork actually exists in the world. Because the company I'm at is like the top tier of paperwork. I'm not saying they're the best company as far as like work or something, that they're doing the best jobs. I'm saying they are the strictest company. Like, you think, okay, so you're working for this company A, you're working for company B, you're working for company C, okay? Now you go to company D, which is the company I'm at. It's not like double the paperwork. It's like four times the paperwork. It's not like, oh, we do this, this, and this, but our company, we like to go a little extra and we do this other thing. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. Nope, they do every fucking thing under the sun, and I'm learning how and what to do, and I'm just thinking, how the fuck do I work? Literally, how do I work? It, like, doing just even, like, doing your time, doing a daily report that shows everything that you did, broken down into, like, codes of, like, if I'm doing lighting or if I'm doing, like, pipe and wire, or if I'm doing this and that. And
it's down the code from the code?
Everything? No.
Just
code
like
as in
the
yeah, like the code 200 is like for pipe and wire, and code 300 is this. So I have that. Okay, this is kind of normal stuff. Then I have like a 3-week look ahead that I have to have do every week, which tells me like the next 3 weeks of my work plan. Then I have to have what is it called? Like an evaluation of like profit and like budget. It's like budgeting. So you're trying to figure out like how much you spent on material, how many hours you've put in or people that you've hired to help you or whatever. And you have to do this every fucking day. And then you have to have safety shit. And you have to have all, it's fucking, it's crazy. I got 12 PDFs sent to me, and like these are the basics that you need to do like every day.
Basics.
And it's 12 fucking PDF, like 12 forms that I need to fill out every fucking day. And they're like extensive and bullshit. You know, some of the, even like the daily is like, what's the temperature outside? You know, like
Jeez,
all that's everything.
God.
It's fucking everything under the sun. You know, it's not just who's working with you and what are you doing. It's like, how many of these $1
like,
pieces did you install today? You know,
it's like analytics
everything.
And a survey for like future companies to work off
Bro.
Of.
Like, okay, Jesus. Here's another thing. My fucking, one of the guys that works with us, whatever, he backed his truck up into like a, like one of those fucking concrete poles that like protects of whatever, yeah. Some light in the parking lot or whatever. Not like bad, just like, you know,
pretty
the bumper got a little fucking boom, whatever.
Yeah.
You have to report it. If you don't report like anything like that, like you're out of the truck, you're done.
Right.
But he reported it and he got suspended for 5 days from the truck. So he still had to work, but he had to work with no truck. And it's like, who does that fucking benefit? Like, you need the truck to work.
Retarded.
So, like, the company's losing money because they need
so
to, like,
stupid.
Enforce that to save money on their insurance. Because they have this program in place, the insurance companies give them a break on the insurance for the vehicles and insuring their drivers. But they have to, and it's like, what? This company is, like, so fucking strict.
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. You know what company I work at, so. It's fucking crazy, though. So, I'm learning all that. And it's kind of a nightmare a little bit. Even though I feel like I don't mind paperwork, this is something I just never knew existed. So it's a whole whole other thing. Anyways, end of my shit. Go ahead. Spit it out. Get it going. Here we go.
So keep along with the work shit. So I mentioned a little bit ago that actually I went through an interview for the county. Went really well. Got the official email saying, you have the job. All we have to do left is the fucking background check. And, like, you know, it's a county. So they said, like, 2-3 weeks, but really this is, like, during the holidays. So I'm like, okay, it's going to be 3-4 weeks. So I assume they hear back from this probably beginning of the year here to officially start this thing. And, of course, kind of like a lot of shit, when it rains, it pours. At my current job, doing security downtown, went out drinking. It happened to me with a bunch of other fucking people from my bar. And one of the managers pulled me to the side. Ended up having like this half hour like drunken conversation about fucking, you know, this and that. And it's one of those, it was like a really cool validating fun conversation where we work at a company. Like, I'm not one of those people who ever fucking, like, you know, dick suck to get ahead or fucking ass kiss and shit.
No I brown nosing. No needed. Yeah. Nothing needed.
I work, you know, like, speak for itself. And it's
one of, like, do you ever ask, though, like, what positions are available or, like, let them know that what you're looking towards, you know what I mean?
It's a little different for bar industry.
In what way? What do you mean? I'd like to know, actually.
There's less positions to do that. So, like, there's a certain amount of managers, there's a certain amount of things, and so...
But to be a manager, do you... I mean, is there ever a chance where you'd be like, hey, man, if I do well, I'm just letting you know if there's an opportunity, I'd like to be a manager.
Well, when I came into the place and I interviewed for the spot, they kind of knew coming in that that was my goal. I had the conversation during the interview about it.
Okay, so you did, like, kind of sort of say it out loud.
Yes. Yeah, I had the conversation with, like, your mouth and your words. This is the goal. Like, this is, cool. You've heard, you know, my background of being a lead at the other company, at this other company. You've heard this and that. You've also heard the recommendation of one of your managers about why I'm coming here to eventually
become
a manager.
So I'm having this conversation.
And I had a conversation with the man, I had an interview with the GM of the place. And I talked to him about it. And so, like, after that, over the last, like, 6 months of working there, couple conversations here and there, and not like that's been an outright like manager conversation, but it's been like obvious, like he knows that I know my shit kind of conversations.
Right. I'm just wondering, like, because I'm having this conversation with like coworkers and stuff about, is that like a thing that you should do or shouldn't do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty split decision on it. So I think everyone has their own thing where some people want their work to show what, you know, it just proofs in the pudding. Like, my work ethic is gonna dictate where I go, and that's it. But some other, you know, there's another way to do it where you have that, but then you also let people know that, like, I want to do this thing, and so it's in their head that you want to do it. But then it's, like, all the people that are there in your same position that may want the same thing that feel that that shouldn't be the way you do it. You should just, you know, work hard and hope it comes your way or whatever because you are doing the best work.
I think then literal, it's like,
but you might, the other guy might get the job because they didn't know that you wanted it.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, we chose this other guy because he asked. And he's like, well, it would have been nice if I had that job. It's like, well, maybe you should have said something. But also that guy could feel that the other guy kind of cheated. Like he did the wrong thing.
I hear what you're saying. My personal theory on it is it's kind of a balance between the two. You work hard, you put the fucking time in, you make it known that you're a good worker, and put that effort in there first so they see what you're doing, and then you talk to them about it and get the conversation out there. Because if you don't say anything, and if it's not an attentive higher-up situation who are not paying attention to the actual workers, that's when you fucking don't get a chance to move ahead. But that's why, like, this conversation, when I got pulled off to the side of this manager, is one of those that just felt so fucking good because he's basically validating everything I've been doing and seeing that the lead security guard there is, like, trying to fuck me. And he's been, like, trying to put me in positions where I'm being underutilized. And he kept making this comment, like, oh, yeah, we know what Tony's doing. Like, we see him putting you at the back of the main room.
Fucking Tony, dude. Every time. Tony, really? Every
fuck
Tony.
Tony. Right. Yeah.
Fucking Tony's out there listening
right
now.
I think 100%.
Leave everyone alone, you fucking mook.
Fiduciary.
Fucking fiduciary.
I think 100% of the time you got to let it be known what you want. And as long as your work backs it up, that should be fine.
Yeah.
Like, I went and told my immediate... supervisor,
like,
I was
you
like,
wanted to hold that broom.
Yeah, I was like,
I want to fucking mop those floors, you motherfucker.
I want that vomit gone off the floor. Where's the sawdust? No, I was like, hey, I'm coming up on my 2 years working here, and I think it's time for a raise. You know, so
raise, yes, raise is a given.
Yeah,
I think that you have to let it know that you want a raise.
But I mean, that's
if you
kind
don't,
of
otherwise, you why just would don't they give get you? One? You don't give a fucking raise. Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of. Like, for anything that you want in your job, as long as you're putting in the effort, like, go ahead and say, hey, this is what I'm shooting for, and, you know, what do you think about that, and let's talk about it.
Maybe it's a blue-collar thing. that, you know, that there's a disagreement there. So
right. I think the point is, though, like,
I think it's more of like a union type of person thing.
It could be a union thing too.
The type of person like who just says that, like you can go out there and trade for it and say, this is what I want to do. But if you're not backing up with the work, if you're not doing the work first, for sure. you're just this fucking mouth spout. Then they kind of back in the background behind you go, this fucking asshole wants to do that. What the fuck has he done? And then you become kind of this laughing point where they overanalyze you. If you're not fucking backing up from the get go before you bring it up, that was kind of my point. I was like, fucking me working hard first and then fucking
talk about it. For sure. I agree with that.
I'm like, I've only driven off the side of a cliff once. Got the truck stuck in mud. That was like a whole year ago.
What about mud? Is that the same night? That was the same day as the mud?
No, that was
different, right?
That was a different night.
5 days, no vehicle.
And also, we're speeding and scared the one dude.
And then the tractor get stuck as well.
That was also hilarious, though.
Yeah.
That was, like, worth it. That was your plan all along.
I still think it's
you saw a tractor in the distance, and, like, that thing's going to try and tow me. It's also going to get stuck. I'm going to get this vehicle stuck right now.
Yeah. And then we're all going to laugh. And then
you just make that hard left into the fucking mud. And you're like, come here, tractor.
People are still bringing that up. Wait. There's one guy who, like, relapsed and came back. He's like, hey, like, a week ago, he's like, hey, remember when you got that van stuck twice in one day? And I was like, fuck you.
Did you say fuck you?
No, he's, like, giant in a, you know, trained UFC fighter. So
yeah.
I didn't say anything. I was like, yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
Right now,
I'll see you later.
Today, I worked with the biggest guy. He was like I don't know the fucking name, but the guy in Guardians of the Galaxy, where he's just
the green guy?
He's like the purple red. Guy or whatever. Purple-red guy. I don't remember his name. What is his name?
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's super funny.
Fucking guy.
But he's like that. He's not as tall, because that other guy's probably like fucking 6'6 or something like that. This guy's probably like 6'2. But you could tell that his hobby is this. And his forearms are like, I'm like, well, how do you find shirts? You know, like, what the fuck? He is so gigantic. And I was asking the other guys working with him, like, you think if me and you both attacked him at the same time that we have a chance? And he's like, maybe. And I'm like, I don't fucking think so at all. I don't see at all we would have a chance fighting that guy.
Like with you have like
we had a weapon that's different.
Well, I mean, like a small, do you have like a knees. Pencil, a pen, pocket knife, a bouquet weapon. Of flowers.
30 straws.
Yeah.
That's
a distraction. Throw him in his face and kick him in the knee.
Yeah.
We can take the paper off and spit it in his face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have a packet of salt from McDonald's
and
blow into his eyes with.
No, but salt is like, could do damage. Let's think of something else. Let's say like. Pepper.
And he sneezes a bunch.
Yeah, the pepper is that. See, that would take anyone down.
Yeah, and then that blinds his vision because it's all blurry from the
if
sneezing.
If you take steroids, you have like a super reaction to pepper. That's just a common thing.
Yeah.
Everyone knows
that. It's almost fatal.
And salt.
You sneeze to death. Yeah.
No, you get like the cardboard tube from wrapping paper. You each get that. But I get two.
Okay.
You know, we're dual wielding here.
Yeah.
And we both have that's our weapons. Can we defeat
Darth Maul that shit?
That guy.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just curious. What about 30 straws and that?
It depends on if they're bendy or not.
Okay.
Bendy, then you can make some sort of like MacGyver sort of mechanism out of it. Like some sort of pulley and lever system.
All right, you have like 6 credit cards. Can you do something with that? It's like sharp enough.
Right.
You could like
break skin. Could definitely make those into shanks.
You can make them into shanks.
Yeah.
Still, I'd still lose. It wouldn't matter. You could probably give me like a katana. I'd probably fucking lose. So, anyways, what are we doing?
So, yeah. So, basically, he basically said that this guy that pulled aside, that's the number 2 in the company. He's like, fucking.
Who do you work
fucking
for?
Come with me. Fucking, I'll teach you everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Tom Arnold?
That was good.
Is that the...
What?
No.
Awesome Powers. No, with the guy in the stall next to him, I think wasn't that Tom Arnold?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, just I'll grab on to something and give it hell, buddy.
Yeah. We're going to get through this.
We're going to get through this.
Tom Arnold. What
maybe,
an obscure
maybe it wasn't
reference.
Him. Yeah,
no, well, I think reference. It was.
Thanks, Tim. Or Tom, I'm sorry. Tom.
But... because I'm doing this kind of job, there's no way I can do this manager job at the same time. So I'm going to try to talk to him about like becoming like a floor manager, which means like not salary, but
so wait, are you,
pay.
You have this new job now? Or no?
I had the county job. The manager job I have to put a resume in for. But basically, I've been told that if I put the resume in, I'm going to be a manager there.
Okay, so what are you going to do?
Well, I can't not, you can't not take the county job. Like, there's too much. The reason I'm looking at that in the first place is for my son, for pension, for medical, for everything. So it's like. And my mom was like a high up in one of the, in the county department, so she's going to show me the ropes on how to like advance into supervisor positions and make a bunch of money in it and shit. So, like, it's me totally, totally out of the norm for me. I've never worked in an office. I always worked in my
You're
hands.
Going to hate your job, but make lots of money.
Yep. But it's going to be a very, very strange.
You're not
going to
hate it. You're just going to be bored.
Yeah. It's going to be very, very different. It's going to be an entire culture shock for me because I've never worked inside
Maybe
office.
Like casual Fridays, you can put on your punk jacket and go in there and see what's up. You know, from polo to punk, we can do that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to Brent for fucking tips.
Yeah. Where's Reich, that son of a bitch?
Yeah, he came by the other day, dropped me off a video card. I got to meet his sweet baby girl for the first time.
Oh, you have not met the little girl?
I have not met her. I've only seen pictures on the interwebs. And so I got
Are you
to,
not invited to, like, stuff?
See them. I usually work during all the stuff because I work weekends.
You do, you're right. You do.
So I'm usually invited. I just don't get to make it.
Fuck. Cute kid.
Yeah.
Super cute. Little now that cutie. It's like...
It? Yeah.
It.
Yeah. Now that
it is like...
out of the danger zone.
Shut up. It's always in the danger zone.
I mean, it was born preemie.
Whatever.
What are you saying?
I mean, I haven't. You know, kids don't look... I don't feel like infants are cute. Like, you know, when they're first, like, 2 months, they're just, like, little blobs of whatever.
They look like aliens.
They look weird. They look like super old people.
Yeah, so... But then this... Now, like, the kid gets to, like, 10 months old. I'm like, God, that is a fucking cute little baby. Like, you know, good for you guys. I wasn't sure how it turned out, you know? Asian... Fucking
yeah, you roll the dice. You know?
Reiki poo. I don't even know. What the fuck is she? I don't even know what she is. Anyways. Yeah, super cool kid, though. Do you have the glasses on?
Yep, sweet little
so
baby
fucking
glasses.
Awesome. I love it. Love it, dude.
Speaking of kids, my son has done a couple of funny things recently. First, like, so yesterday we're sitting in a chair.
Fucking Tom Arnold.
It's Tom Arnold.
Fucking Tom Arnold. And Tom Tucker. That was your joke.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's it.
Tom.
This is where I'm sitting in a chair playing a game. And for every reason, I'm sitting there, I kind of flex my arm. And he's like, he reaches over, touches my arm. He's like, Daddy, I'm strong too. I'm like, okay, grab his arm. He's like, yeah, you're pretty strong, buddy, but you're not as strong as me yet. And he looks over and kind of grabs my arm again. And goes, oh, sorry, Daddy. I'm like, oh, it's okay, buddy. You'll be strong with me one day. And he'll be probably stronger. He goes, no, I'm sorry that I'm stronger than you right now. Oh, you little shit. You're five. Fuck you. It was great, though. It's like, damn, you're going to be a little shit talker. Good.
I'm sorry,
I like
Daddy.
It. I was like, fuck. All right, you can make me proud of you, motherfucker.
That's like a very mature joke that age, too.
I know.
I'm sorry, Daddy, that I'm stronger than you right now.
I was stoked. Speaking of mature things he's done, so you know how our phones and tablets have a speak to function feature,
right?
So I guess he was on my ex's fucking tablet. He's on Google, and he uses YouTube Kids, and he usually uses this the voice search on there because you can't really type it out yet,
right?
And so searching's on there, but he happened to be on Google. And he knew what he was doing because apparently he took the tablet, went like around the kitchen table, like ducked down, and he hits the button to search, he goes, boobies. He searched boobies. So he whispered boobies in his
face. Is he like five, six?
Five, yeah. So by the time my ex ran over there, he goes, like, grab it from, he's sitting there fucking searching through fucking Google tits. Like
boobies.
I was watching,
Oh jeez!
But like,
talk about birds.
No,
dude.
But like booby like drops. They pull their shirt up and it's like bloop.
Oh that's, yeah, pictures. There we
that's
go. It.
Yeah. So that's what my son saw.
Yeah.
Like for a good couple seconds before the ex got there, I'm like, that's. He told me that and like kind of had something to be mad about. I just started like laughing, like telling him I was proud of him. like, buddy, you can't do that. But goddamn it, good boy.
Who'd you find?
I was just gonna say there's a meme. It says how to keep generations of men watching TV shows. Jennifer Aniston. Hard nipples, as well as the chick from Married with Children, and
that's just Bazinga. The chick from
Christina
Anchorman.
Applegate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
that show is so stupid. By the way,
my point. Bazinga? Yeah.
The fucking Married with Children. That was such a dumb. Like watching so episodes bad. Now, I'm like, oh my god, this is the corniest shit.
Doesn't
in
hold
the
up
world.
Very well.
No, it does not.
But it's still on all the time. So people can't get over it.
You know what I want to watch? Tool Time. Pretty sure
you don't even know
the name of the
you,
show.
No, you don't even want to watch the actual
tool
show.
Time. Home Improvement.
You want to watch the
just
show
tool
within the
just
show.
Tool Time. That's
yeah.
it. Okay. I want to see him just do like create like some stupid invention.
Oh, dude,
like it's kind of like
the best thing
like
ever. The bathroom.
Top Gear was like inspired by Tool Time. I'm pretty sure. If you've seen both of them, I bet in your head right now you're gonna go, yeah, I can see that.
They made the sewer bowl shitter. They made a bathroom like on Tool Time, and they made a fucking Lazy Boy shitter. Like the literal fucking toilet with the on a lazy boy.
Didn't it have like a cooler on the side?
Cooler on the side, had a beer fridge in there, had a TV in there, so you could sit in the shitter and watch Super Bowl on a lazy boy shitting. It was amazing. And gross as fuck.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, that's all I gotta say.
Just no. Man, he's in like Christmas movies and shit. So, you know,
Tim Allen?
Well, yes, he owns Christmas, but right. I'm saying no, the fucking Jonathan Taylor Thomas. now we got JT. And I'm just Jay. Yeah. And anyways, we have he's that stupid fucking kid is in like Christmas movies, and I was over at I don't remember whose house, but it was in the I just on in the background, and I'm like,
he was
no.
in Jungle to Jungle.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
No, it was awesome.
It was Jungle to Jungle.
That's a great movie.
Was he in that?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, mop head
I think
kid.
That's him.
I don't,
yeah, that's him.
I don't even
pretty
know.
Sure, pretty
that
sure.
Is.
So okay,
it was great.
Okay, I love my girlfriend, and we share a lot.
Fiance.
Fiance. Excuse me. We share a lot of similar interests, and you know, she was intuitive enough to get me these pop filters that were on my Amazon list, and she encourages, you know, my funny sense of humor, all this great stuff. But when Christmas time comes around, she insists on watching Santa Claus.
With like Tim Allen.
With Tim Allen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is unacceptable. I do not want... And I have to every year. She's like, come on, let's just hang out, watch Christmas movies. And then I get stuck watching stupid Santa Claus.
What about the one with Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Dude. Right,
I mean, it doesn't...
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way. What
any
about
movies...
Dansa Blitzen. Common Cupid.
Wasn't Tom Arnold in that also?
Oh, I'm sure he was.
He's in everything.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's the neighbor who tried to fuck Arnold's wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, I love that movie. That's
the episode title. Dude,
at least
Tom Arnold.
Look, there's a lot.
Tom Arnold Christmas.
Tom
Christmas.
Tom Christmas.
You can't say Tom. I keep thinking of Tum Tum from Three Ninjas.
It's Tum Tum. Three Ninjas. Also a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
Getting the warm and fuzzies.
I will say though, like of all, like there's a lot of bad Christmas movies. Of all ones, like you have to watch each year, Santa Claus is not bad compared to a lot of worse ones.
Like what? What's a worse one?
So there's that
Jack Frost.
There's that one.
Yes.
So there's one that just came out on Netflix called like something Princess Christmas Story Princess. I don't fucking know.
That sounds really bad.
Okay. So think about like the most just typical
Papa
chick flick
Gizzo.
With all the like movie tropes in it from classic chick flick movies.
Okay.
And then wrap that around like Christmas and then like, you know, like British royalty and then like
it's a Hallmark Channel movie.
Exactly. And so like it's popular on Netflix because it's so bad. And I think it was like made by Netflix.
Yeah.
But they're like running with it. They're like embracing that it's so bad, like that it's good now that it's so bad. You know what I mean? So my chick...
Like a Sharknado style?
Yeah, exactly. But my chick wanted to watch it, but she didn't like understand why it was so popular. So I had...
You gotta watch it?
I hadn't heard anything about it, and I was like, all right.
Oh,
and then
God.
As I was watching, I was like, God, this has all the stupid little... Okay.
It's like Scary Movie, but for Christmas or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. So like the snowball fight, you know, like they're throwing the snowball, and then like, you know, there's the little kid, you know, who wanted to do the snowball fight in the beginning, and then it gets between the guy and the girl, and then the guy, accidentally, they both fall over, and then he falls on right on top of her, and they're like almost mouth to mouth, and it's like a very awkward, like, oh, sexual tension, weird, you know?
Okay.
That's like in every fucking movie ever.
So what do they do in this one? Just the same thing.
The same thing, but it's like I'm just saying that it does every like
cliche.
Cliche. Thank you, Jan.
I thought something really funny was going to happen in that scenario where like they were like in that moment, and then like out of the chick's top comes the little boy just squeaking through the sweater or something like that through her sweater puppies.
I mean,
and
that would have been.
Then he gives the boy a kiss.
Yeah, that would have been impressive.
God damn it. Yeah, that would be. Like I said, that's what I'm picturing. Something just out of this world. Hilarious.
World. So, yeah. Tim Allen, not so much. Tom Arnold, hooray.
A+.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I told you guys that my mom got my son and me something that was going to make you guys fucking jealous as shit.
Eh.
And sure enough. Oh, eh? Okay.
I think it's sitting right there on the table.
No, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
Because that's bullshit right there. I hate that.
That's stupid.
I hate
it. Oh, dude. We'll
okay, go on.
We already did. We already said we all love it. I'm trying to fucking nag you, bro.
Dude.
Fucker.
So, my son and
I'm turning his mic off real quick. Hold on. Go ahead.
Is it on?
Are you recording correctly here? I plugged in. We got the Millennium Falcon Lego set.
Nice.
The giant fucking man. Like 1,500 piece Lego set of Millennium Falcon.
I think it's like $400 or something like that.
Yeah,
she got on sale at Target for like 70% off.
Nice. Some
stupid fucking sale, like just before Christmas.
Hey, I'm excited. That's fucking rad.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be so fucking, things look amazing. It's going to be like a fucking 4-day, like, non-stop project to make this thing, though. It's like literal 1,500 pieces.
Dude, you just got
to
put Star Wars on.
Oh, I'm not dreading it by any means. It's going to be great.
No, I mean in a good way. Like, when I was, the day I was wrapping presents, I just watched Star Wars 1-3. Like, just straight up fucking 8 hours. Just wrapping presents, taking breaks, doing whatever I was doing, making some food, this and that. And I just powered through it. And I'm like, this is a Jace day. This is like just a fireplace was on, fucking tree was lit. You know, I'm like, this is just my little day.
This is nice.
You know, holding the fucking cup of coffee with two hands. You know,
you're like, I'm annoyed having to wrap for Christmas presents. I'm also be annoyed with what I'm watching too.
You know, they didn't change what I felt about the movies.
Oh God!
But
right? It's like I get what you did though. It's like you have to rewatch them once every 5 years because it's like you don't want to
because
but it
is Star Wars.
I did feel something. With the first movie, though. Like, I had, like, a... Like, it was nice seeing Anakin the boy, like... And then, like, when he was like, you know, you're free. You're going to come with me, and you're going to be trained to be a Jedi. And all that moment, I was like, man, that's nice. That's nice. And the other two movies, They're just...
So, what I like, which I didn't appreciate the first time I saw them, is that... So, I, you know, when the movies came out, I watched them. You know, kind of thought they were garbage. And then I watched the Clone Wars, the animated series, which just gave so much badass backstory to the movies. And then when I watched the movies again, the like political side of the story that deals with the Senate and the,
it was dude, that whole thing was super political. First three movies are the two and three were super political.
Yeah, and so I had a more of an appreciation for the political side of what was going on. As opposed to just, like, looking at the stupid shit and going, God, this is dumb! You know?
Yeah. The third one is not that bad of a movie, I think. But it's not perfect, definitely not. But, I mean...
Except Anakin didn't have a high ground. You
what's
know?
That? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking.
He had those crazy like, eyes, dude, though.
The high ground always wins. Yeah. It's a historical
Anakin,
fucking fact.
Your hands are freezing. Got that crazy look in your eye.
I'll never let go, Anakin. Yeah, so...
Dude, my son actually got a Lego set... Where it's fucking, it's like Anakin after he's been burned to fucking lava, loosened legs and shit. But the Lego set.
You okay? What the fuck are you talking about?
You got a Lego for Christmas. You got a Lego set. It's fucking actually kind of cool because it's you know when they actually the end of that movie where like you know he Anakin gets all the Vader equipment, all the suit on, and the machine like puts it on him, and then he fucking like leans forward and goes no, because his mom died of fucking nothing.
Yes.
So. It's that scene where he's like half burned to death, and then like the Lego itself, you can turn little switches, or whatever you like, you know, crank it, and the machine, like the Lego itself, the Lego set itself, puts all the shit on Vader and leans him forward. So it's just kind of this cool little like.
No, it you know, sounds rad. I just never knew burnt up Anakin would be a fucking
right.
Yeah. What? Oh my god.
I didn't know either. I just got it for Christmas. I'm like, wow, this thing's fucking kind of cool, actually.
Jesus
because
Christ. Do you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, that's good.
It's good. Do you have a Nintendo Switch sitting in front of you?
I do.
You have the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And you got burnt up Anakin.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I got Super Mario Odyssey with the Nintendo Switch. I got Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, the strategy style game.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Breath of the Wild. And
I would say that's a pretty successful.
And
Christmas.
As a bonus, my mom got my son the Pokken Tournament DX, which is you know basically Pokemon Tekken.
Yeah.
So yeah, got that's the Breath of the Wild.
God damn.
It's telling him too. It's fucking the Switch. So I also got PUBG, a couple weeks early, and Battlefront and Call of Duty World War II for Christmas.
Fucking video games, dude.
Yeah, it was like old school video game Christmas.
I got zero video games.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You know. I don't like video games anymore. I'm over Magic. I'm over video games.
Yeah.
I'm all about Porgs now. Just Porgs. So I'm putting all my money into Porgs.
Yeah.
Sell. Buy, buy, buy. Sell, sell, sell.
Porg bellies. So, you good? We moving?
Yeah, I got another shit, but we'll move on since I'll put in another cast.
Cool. So just to kind of wrap up my Christmas, everything was cool. Mom was a little sick, so we had to do Christmas the day after Christmas. So I kind of got like two Christmases because... On Christmas Day, I went out with my fiancé's family and got motherfucking Christmas tamales. That is now a tradition to me. because
yeah,
the,
I hate you.
The Where, rich.
You didn't save one from this year, did you? I asked you for one.
Oh, fuck no. I will never save or give or offer you guys Christmas tamales. That's a once a year thing that
I'll pay her for them.
No, never. There's not enough money in the world.
Like one of the best things in the world is like homemade Christmas tamales. Like, doing construction and shit, I used to every now and then, like, get friends of cool Mexican guys, and, like, they'd fucking bring them in and be like, yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Amazing. So I had six when we went, and That's then it. I was like, I need to go take a nap now. Yeah. So I had a fun time, and then
What's your favorite ones?
Probably the jalapeno cheese.
Okay. I haven't had one of those. My favorite's always carnitas and the sweet corn for dessert.
Yeah, it depends on the sweet ones. They do, like, pineapple. There's also, what's the other one they do? Some other sweet one, but yeah, really hit and miss with the sweets, at least for me. So I had
carnitas, though.
Yeah, carnitas is fucking the best choice every time.
And so I had a small Christmas with the family and my chick. Got some things. Probably the thing I'm, besides these lovely pop filters that you are currently filtering your ear holes with that we're using right now. The thing I'm most excited about is a Super Nintendo Entertainment System Bluetooth controller.
For a phone.
For anything with Bluetooth.
For anything.
It could actually be connected to the Switch as well, but I'm using it strictly for my phone because a while ago, if you remember, I figured out that I could plug in my cumbersome Xbox One controller via an adapter in the wire, but that's like kind of bulky to carry around and everything. So this sweet little controller, Stone Crow hasn't seen it yet.
I have not.
Comes in this little case, and it's just like looks.
I'm hard.
Exactly.
That's literally the controller.
Literally the controller. Minus like you know they put the
it's the same text,
8-bit dough,
same font,
8-bit dough. Yeah, everything's the same. It is amazing. Wow. And I can just, like, slide it in the same pocket with my phone and on the go. Yeah. It's great. So
that's fucking
sweet. It feels perfect. I'm playing with it right now.
Yeah.
Click, 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 click. I'm in front of the pop filter, so that's not going to help. But, it feels pretty amazing. Wow. Yeah.
And there's no, like, delay. The response time on the emulator on my phone is perfect. I've just been downloading all the classics.
Oh, my God, I
want
to play it right now.
Yeah, NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
It's like $30 or something, right? Or
yeah, it's like 30, okay. Something like that.
Not that bad.
Yeah.
It's fucking cool.
So I'm super stoked about that. And also, I can just use it for the regular Nintendo emulators as well. So, super excited about that. Got some other stuff. What did I write something down here? Pop filters. Oh, I got a Star Wars book. It was a prequel. Or it is a prequel to one of my favorite Star Wars books. My favorite Star Wars book is called Death Troopers, and it's like zombies
not
meet Star Wars. Well, not canon anymore. So anyways, this is like the prequel to that, where it talks about like where this infection came from, and the Sith were trying to cultivate something to take over, and blah, blah, blah.
Is this like an actual Star Wars line, or is this like a fan-made? Or
no, this is like Star Wars made, like it was accepted in the expanded universe.
Okay.
It was just kind of, so the, Death Troopers was like, basically they found this Super Star Destroyer, nobody on it, these bunch of hooligans boarded it.
It's like a space prison.
Yeah, space prison, and they boarded it, and then they found that there was some sort of infection going on, zombies, hilarity ensues, zombies ensue, and then so this kind of is the origin of how the zombies happened.
Pandemic.
You know? Yes, the pandemic. Space pandemic. So I'm super stoked to read that.
Yeah, when you're done with it, I'll probably just have to borrow it.
Oh, hell
I read,
yeah.
I read Death Troopers, so.
Yeah, let me borrow Death Troopers, dude.
Oh, yeah, I got it sitting right in there.
Yeah, I do not think I have it, so it'll be from him.
And sure. Also, I probably got the dopest pair of board shorts I've ever had in my entire life.
I mean, when you call them board shorts, you gotta say dopest, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's no other word.
That's a little 90s throwback.
Yeah. It's the hella sick.
We're not in North Cali, relax.
It's just regular black swim trunks. Or gray or something. Anyways, on the side, on the right leg, is just a big-ass fucking Death Star.
Oh,
and that's
nice.
It. Just real simple, sleek design, nothing crazy. I was just like, wow, if you just took a quick glance, you couldn't even really tell that was, like, Star Wars. It's not, like, super obvious unless you're, like, a nerd like us where you're like, okay, that's obviously. See how the top left portion isn't finished because of the, you know. So it's just, like, perfect.
The workers just didn't quite get done.
That's pretty badass.
It took a long weekend.
Yeah, exactly. It was a Christmas weekend. So yeah, that was it for Christmas. Last year I'd gotten my chick. I set her up with Steam. And this year I taught her about the Xbox One controller. You can play that with the Steam games. And so I was able to buy her like 5 or 6 Steam games for Christmas along with other stuff. But just like the sale was happening and I was buying a shitload of stuff for me. And then I ended up buying a crap load of stuff for her. Just like some of the classics like Portal 2, this old kind of Sims type of game. It's called Tropico. Where you don't control the people, but you control like their surroundings and trying to influence them to do shit.
Like the next evolution of like Roller Coaster Tycoon type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was an interesting take on it.
Like, I don't give a time, but I haven't played that one, but it's that same premise line of games, that style of game.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on from Christmas, I did buy PUBG. Oh my goodness, turn down your volume, sir. I did buy. Dick.
Whatever, don't care.
I did buy PUBG, Player Unknown Battlegrounds, right before Christmas. It did come out before Christmas, and I was like, I'm just buying this right now on the Xbox One. And I've been playing it nonstop ever since. Every night I get home from work, usually my chick's either asleep or just about to go to bed, you know, so I just like talk to her. And in my head the whole time, I'm just waiting for her to shut up so I can go play PUBG, you know. I'm like sticking NyQuil like in her fucking, oh, you want some more milk? So anyways, then I play PUBG until I look at the clock. I'm like, it's 3:30 in the morning. I gotta go to bed.
You know what's fucked up? Like, I've been waiting for this game for me to be able to play it for months, and I've barely played it since owning it yet.
Oh, dude.
I've got so much shit going on. Like, I haven't really had much of a chance. Like, I'm like choosing not to play it.
Right.
But it's like, fuck, I want to play this game, but now I have literal, like, and I get old, it's an old school Christmas. I got like all video games. Then I have like 7 games that I just want to fucking play.
See,
on.
So. Now you guys need to come over when I have my new monitor and be like in all its glory.
So, granted, the PC version is more up to date and you can run it at higher frames per second. Looks beautiful and it's seamless and yada yada. I don't care. I'm just happy I can play it.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I bought it on Xbox as well because I wanted to play with you guys, even though I'm dying it twice. But I find it to be a horrible piece of shit. Like, it is.
Oh, it is one so of the worst because games it's the I've servers. It's the game in progress. So just like on PC, they had tons of lag problems that they've had to work through and consistently had to updates.
Amazing how the fucking bad.
But
it
Blue
is
Hole
right now.
Has been really good the entire time. Unlike like H1Z1 and that company, they fucking have been. That game's been laggy and a piece of shit for years now. Where Blue Hole has done with PUBG is like continue to do like weekly and double weekly updates. And so continue, like, they know they got lag problems, but the game's so good and popular. They're like, we need to actually fucking fix this instead of having lag problems like H1Z1 and get this game out there. So, like, it's going to have the same thing on Xbox where they're going to have lag problems so they can fix it, figure all this shit out on the port over. But the PC
is
just
like amazing, though, to me. It's just. It's just amazing.
Yeah, amazingly terrible. And that's totally...
I still play it, too. I mean, I like the game a lot. It's just on the Xbox specifically. It's not because it's underpowered or whatever. It's because the Xbox could do a lot.
Yeah, and they're not...
It can make it look beautiful.
Right.
And it's not the performance of the console. It's just... It's very early access on that one.
It's,
you know?
Just,
it's fucking...
It's just like if you would have bought the PC version like a year and a half ago
but
or whenever
funny,
it came out.
But it's funny because the game's already developed and... When you're porting, I understand that I don't know everything about porting, and I understand that it's tough or whatever else, but it just seems like it could be better to me. It just seems that way, because the game's already been built. So, like, I don't know why it's so different, you know? I'm sure someone out there will tell me exactly why it's so hard to port from console to PC or PC to console, but in my head, I'm like, all the things are already, they're already there, like, just...
I mean, I do not
over.
Know.
Play.
I do not know.
Play, baby.
I do not know the process behind it, but I can only assume when you build the back end on something like that on a specific system, it's rough to translate that to a whole different system to a whole different back end. You know what I mean? That's probably why a lot of Android apps are so faulty across all the different type of phones is because you're working. I mean, you're still working with the Android.
Concur.
You know, sandwich, whatever. Android sandwich.
It's What is it? What is it now? Whatever stupid name they have.
Ice cream Sunday 5.2.
Exactly.
Okay,
is that really a thing?
So you haven't played much on the Xbox.
Not too much.
Like how many games? 5, 2.
Probably 5.
Okay, I played a million. I don't know, 30. Sauce on the either.
What are you asking?
On how many games
of PUBG?
Yeah, on either.
He's trying to set a precedent for what he did.
Total, probably like. 30, probably 20 to 30.
Okay. So what is your most embarrassing death on PUBG?
Embarrassing death?
Because there's definitely ways you can die besides getting shot.
I mean, I got ran over.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I've died once from the fucking electric fence coming through, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the blue force field. Yeah, thing. That's not nothing.
It's just been moments of, man, I am so fucking loaded. I'm like perfect right now. I got the fucking scope. I got the whatever gun, you know, the SCAR, yeah. Fucking M16. I'm like, this is rad. Got to find a high vantage point. We're good. And then it's just like, just this screen tells me I'm dead. And I don't know where, how the fuck it happened. I'm like, okay, well, that was great.
I mean, you know, I've seen some very funny, little videos on how people die.
Do you have something to share with us, sir?
I walked off a cliff and just died. And I was geared out to the tits. Perfect, like, SCAR, all souped up with the, you know, 8x scope and everything with a vector backup or, like, whatever. And I was just, I didn't know, like, most hills don't really have cliffs in the game. There's a very gradual down. Like, you might fall, like, a couple feet and take a little bit of damage. But, you know, you can just walk. This, particularly right next to the prison, I was just, like, trying to stay within the acceptable zone, you know, whatever you call the circle. And I was just running. I'd never really been over by the prison. And I just run, and then I just ran off a goddamn cliff. Full health, full everything, just dead. And I just sat there for like a minute, just staring, going.
I just pictured like when you were playing fucking Thousand Foot Spikes.
it was just kind of like, fuck!
you want to tell us about your feeding the kids?
So I got my first chicken dinner, winner chicken dinner, yesterday.
Pretty exciting.
Or was it yesterday, day before? Anyways,
did you squirt diarrhea into your shorts, your board shorts?
I did, my dopest board shorts.
I need a cursed wipe right now, actually, to be honest.
So, my mother, the plumbing at her house was like fucked up or whatever, and the guys couldn't come out to the next day. So I was like, hey, you can come stay over here, you know, until they fix it, you know, so you don't have to like shit in the backyard, you know, or like whatever, you know. So she was hanging out, and it was yesterday before work. And I was just playing, and she was just
She was giving you all the hints that you needed to know.
She's secretly a
pub genius.
Where did you hear that from? You did not just come up with that.
Swear to God, I just came up with that.
Oh,
right now.
You are stupid, sir.
I'm trying to work on my fucking McElroy, you know what I'm saying? That's all it is.
So I'm playing, and she's kind of just sitting there doing fucking whatever, not paying attention. She looks over, and she's like, what, like, why do you play such violent games? Like, classic old lady. I'm like, you're the one who bought me, like, guns and swords when I was a little kid, and, like, you encouraged all that stuff. But she's like, but this is so graphic and violent. I'm like, what do you think my imagination was doing? This is just a lazy imagination right here. That's all this is right here. You know, and so she's just kind of giving me crap about it.
At least it wasn't hot sauce watching RoboCop getting scarred for life.
Pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
I didn't know life could be so bad. I'm so mean.
Old nightmare
replaced. I love that story so much.
Old nightmare replaced with new nightmare.
So
I didn't know life could be so graphic.
No, I didn't know life could be so bad. Like, people can be so mean. You know? Didn't know that existed.
They killed him for no reason. They just kept blowing him off.
You think you
he blew his arms off his legs?
Just shoot him in the head and leave.
I loaded like 100 clips into
him. Put a bag over his head. You don't have to blow every limb off. Cherry head. Oh, man. 25 cents. That's 5 nickels. Wow.
So anyways, I'm playing a match. I'm getting pretty far in. And there's like...
My question though, how many kills in that win?
Four?
It's not bad. It's not bad.
My shooting's getting better. So
I'm
like,
it wasn't like one.
Yeah, there's like 10 people left. And I'm like, so I'm like standing up now. I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting close. I'm like, because I kind of explained the game to my mom. So she's like watching now. And she's like kind of like watching intently. So she's kind of getting into it too. And then like I got somebody like in my sights. And I'm just like, wait, they're kind of behind a tree. So I'm waiting for him to pop out. And my mom's like cheering me on. She's like, fucking get him. Fucking get him.
And she's saying fucking?
Yeah, she's go ahead, fucking old ass
so
lady.
So your dad like doesn't cuss. And so I was the asshole cussing around him. But your mom cusses? I should meet her.
Yeah, she's a horrible person. Perfect. I don't know how it happened. So I don't know. She was saying fucking. It sounds better for the story.
I'm making sure. I'm just like, man, it's pretty kind of rad.
So as I'm shooting the last guy, because I'm just ducked down in the fucking grass, laying prone, and then all of a sudden I hear some like rumbling in the grass next to me. He just crawls right the fuck in front of me in like a ghillie suit, which I didn't even know they had in the fucking game.
Yeah, you know, from the drop boxes.
I've never fucking found a drop box, and so he just crawls right in front of me. I shoot him. My mom's cheering, and I'm like, "Oh, I fucking did it! Winner, winner, chicken dinner!" And so it's just funny that she was like giving me shit, and then like once I was about to win, she was just like, "Yeah, fucking kill,
kill,
yeah."
So I was, and then oh, metal music is sort of playing.
Yeah.
No, that's not metal music. Still good though.
That was exciting.
I'm excited for you because that is an epic moment.
Yeah. My first. So.
You played through Fire and Flames on Expert 100%. That's what we did.
Exactly. Which is impossible. Impossible.
It's impossible.
So moving on to some magic. Because we are an hour and a half into this episode, we haven't hung out in quite some time. So I do want to mention, I do have a little segment, and then we'll talk about what magic we've played most recently. So I have this friend, and let's just call him, I don't know, Brian. And I've been teaching him...
That's the name of a person.
Yes. And I've been teaching him how to play Magic.
There are a lot of people, actually.
Yeah.
It's a pretty common name.
I've been teaching him how to play Magic. And he's been catching on pretty well. And I've been saying, like, hey, I can't wait till you, like, learn and then, like, hop into EDH. You know, because that's probably my favorite format. If you come hang out with us, you know, there'll be four players. It'll
be
great.
I really wish you hadn't gone that way. Like, can we go back to Modern?
No, no.
Like, EDH.
I mean, I got 8 rack waiting, so... Anyways... So we go down to the store because I need sleeves or fucking whatever. And he's like, okay, so which one of these EDH decks do you think I should get? And I'm like, oh, shit, he's got the Jersey fever. You know, that first couple month fever where you're just like buying like crazy. And I'm like, well, probably like, because it was the new EDH precons. I was like, probably like the Dragons deck would be best for you to first like learn because... You know, the Cats deck is more Voltron, and the Vampires deck has some intricacies. And obviously the Wizards deck is hot garbage, and there's a lot of timing issues, which he's not really up to speed on, like, the control aspect. He's like, yeah, grab the Dragons. So, and he gets the fucking Eclipse sleeves. He's not fucking around, you know. And we come back, as he's sleeving it up, I'm like, hey, like, when you sleeve up the card, read each card real quick just to get, like, a grasp of what the deck does.
What's happening.
Just, you know, just give it a quick read as you're sleeving them up, and I'll try and figure out which deck I'm going to use. And so he's reading them, and every couple minutes he's just like, oh, wow. What? Really? You know, he's just kind of, like, saying to himself, just, like, very impressed noises coming from his side of the table. I'm just kind of laughing to myself as I'm, I think I was like re-sleeving, I was re-sleeving zombies. And, so, when he sleeved it all up, I told him, I was like, okay, I'm going to be playing, this deck, blah, blah, blah. And he looks at me with this very like honest, earnest expression and feeling coming from, he's like, dude, I don't know how you're going to win. This is the first time he's seen these massive, huge, powerful creatures. So in his mind, this is like the top of the game, you know what I mean? And like, this isn't making fun of him at all. This is just like,
No, it's good to have a little level of cockiness. Okay, you're ignorant and you're cockiness about this game. Like, I don't know. It was kind of funny.
Knife told me this story already, and I had the same reaction you did. I was like, that is amazing. Like, him saying that is amazing. I love it.
Good.
Because what that reminds me of is, like, the excitement of first learning about new things in Magic, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, this is so powerful. Like, holy shit. And, you know, obviously... I raffle stomped him with the zombie deck, but anyways, yeah. So it was awesome to see that like honest reaction. I don't know how you're gonna win. I had a good old laugh. It's
pretty amazing. Yeah, that's good.
We
like it.
We played a lot of EDH games.
We drafted Unstable with your bro.
Oh, yes, yes,
because,
yes.
Because we were just jonesing, and you, Mr. Stone Crow, were not here, and we're like, oh, we just have to play. Like, it's been sitting here for a fucking week. I need to play really bad. So we drafted.
Yeah, that was his first draft. It was an unstable draft. And we told Expert him, we're like, this is probably the worst, like, first draft. Yeah. But
I just said, like, we've been playing for years, and we're going to have a hard time with the ruling on some of these cards.
And drafting this.
So I'm letting you know that if you're going to have a very hard time figuring out the rules in this fucking
thing. And they actually did a pretty decent job. Like, we had to help him clean up and make, you know, his 40-card deck or whatever.
Yeah, but he won the first game.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And so he had a pretty decent deck. We've played some more games of EDH, and he's won. He's getting the hang of Dragons, and I've actually given him a bunch of cards and actually bought him some, you know, cheap cards or whatever. And so he's getting more excited to play. But as I was kind of teaching him about EDH, and like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to play this very powerful card, and I want you to read it. And it was Cyclonic Rift. And like, he was just like, well, that's not fair, because he had like five big-ass dragons out. And so it made me think, like, yeah, there's definitely some powerful cards in EDH that are just like staples of whatever deck you put them in. And then it made me think of the cards that I value, like in certain colors. And so I texted you guys this question earlier to hopefully prime you a little bit on this question, but I wanted to know your opinion on like powerful cards in EDH according to like color, you know, like most powerful blue, black. Not maybe most powerful, that's the wrong term, but most like a card you really value in your decks that's generally undervalued.
Decimate?
Okay,
fuck you.
Perfect. So multicolored, you're gonna go with Decimate.
Yeah, if I'm playing green and I'm playing red in the same deck, no matter what, Decimate is gonna be in there because Decimate is fucking ridiculous. Decimate, I'm not sure if it's legal, say in like Modern or something like that. I don't really care because it couldn't be playable there because you have to have all targets. But when you're playing with four people, there's just a lot of shit on the battlefield, and you're going to be able to tick all those boxes that card requires.
Oh, yeah.
So if I was playing it one-on-one, I have to like wait for someone to have an enchantment and an artifact and a creature on the battlefield that might
blow up one of your own things.
It may not happen. Yeah, or blow up my own things. It may not even ever happen. Or if it does, it'll probably be like turn seven.
Right.
But if you're playing as four people, you get turn four, you're probably going to be able to use this thing, even if you got to blow up your fucking 1/1 or whatever the hell, you know?
Right.
So that card is for sure there.
And yeah,
we want to grow on the table?
Yeah, and some of the cards I have on my list are very niche to the deck I'm playing, but like, I just want to hear like some cards that are undervalued that are really powerful in your deck.
When you ask this question, the first card that comes to mind for me is White Border Grave Pact. It has to be White Border, by the way. That art's the best. Grave Pact. I love that card. I absolutely love that card. I like building around with that and Dictate of Erebos as well. So I'm just constantly like in a sack something, making everybody around the table just ping, 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 dead, 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 dead.
Okay, so like multicolored. Multicolored. Anything come to your mind immediately? I'll go first ahead. Is that Temur Ascendancy. That is a very powerful card in a big creature deck.
Haste to creatures, and then power four, greater draw card.
Exactly.
Enters the battlefield.
So that is almost a linchpin in the dragon deck, in any five-color creature deck. I also use it in my elementals deck I have online, which is basically just big five-color beaters. because the problem with those decks is a lack of repeatable card draw. So you might have one-time effects, or, you know, there's, like, options like Erebos or you enchant the land, whatever mm-hmm. that one is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are okay, you know what I mean? But in those specific big beater decks, five-color... You know,
Phyrexian Arena is a really good one.
What?
Phyrexian Arena is a really good one in black to draw cards.
Yeah, so that's good,
like,
too.
That's, like, better than, like, the other ones is all I'm thinking of.
Right. So, but this card, you play a big thing, you know, and in a lot of these decks, I'm running the Zendikar Resurgent or whatever that doubles your mana, and also Mirari's Wake doubles your mana, and other stuff.
Rory's wig is amazing.
So, you know, you have all this fucking mana to play with. You play a big-ass creature. Not only does it have haste, but you get to draw a card and possibly play another big-ass creature that has haste. So in these type of, those niche type of decks, I think that card, super undervalued, and it just shines in those decks.
What's that blue 5-minute mana enchantment for tribal when you play the creature or you draw a card?
So that was going to be my...
That's a new one.
That's my pick for blue. Kindred Discovery.
Yeah.
Is fucking bananas.
What else does it do? It draws a card, and isn't there something else? Oh, no. What else
whenever a creature attack, like it enters the battlefield, you name a creature. Whenever a creature of that type enters the battlefield, which is
or
huge,
attacks.
Or attacks. So you don't have to cast it. It can just enter.
So you attack three creatures, you draw three cards.
Correct.
That's insane. It's so insane.
Well, it has to be of like, the type, but
who cares?
Like,
yeah, it's a tribal thing. That's like, I bought one. You know, even though, I don't know what they were, like $7 or something like that. I don't remember, but it's something that I have to play. Like, that's a crazy, crazy fucking card.
So I do have to tell a story right now. I was playing Magic Online, and when the prize packs, the special prize packs, the treasure chests online, they changed the contents of them. And then, you know, right when they changed them, not a lot of people opened them. So Kindred Discovery was on the list, but not a lot of people opened them. They weren't on sale, you know, on the bots. So I wait a couple weeks, go back, they're on sale, super cheap. I bought some, kind of as a spec target also, and I put it right in my zombie EDH deck, my Grimgrin deck. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit, it's broken. I mean, obviously with Rooftop Storm, anything can be broken.
But then you can just bring shit back from the graveyard because it's not casting, right? It's enter the battlefield. Which
it's
enter the battlefield, not just casting creatures.
Right,
so it also interacts with graveyard stuff, which that just kind of like a has you have more flexibility to draw cards.
So this is a very the least broken aspect of this card. I had Rooftop Storm out and Kindred Discovery. So basically, I have my hand. You know, let's say it was half zombies, half you know non-creature spells. I play a zombie. I draw a card. I draw another zombie. I play that guy. I draw a card. And then you just kind of like you're playing off the top of your deck until you don't draw any more creatures. So you can just flood the board with creatures, which is crazy. So
really
now,
crazy.
Yeah, and that's just with those two. So now let's add in Grimgrin and Gravecrawler. I have ways of getting Gravecrawler in the graveyard. So now you have Kindred Discovery, Rooftop Storm, which makes things cost zero. Grimgrin, which can sacrifice, and Gravecrawler, which you can cast for free from the graveyard.
So you can draw your whole deck.
Draw your whole fucking deck, basically. Which is gross.
Not basically. You just can right there before you do anything. You just sack it forever and just fucking cast it forever. Draw your whole deck if you want to, which you don't.
Yeah.
But just draw until you get a hand that you're like, okay, yeah, this is unbeatable, basically, so fine.
Yeah, and when I played the Kindred Discovery for the first time, I didn't really like think about it. Until I played a card, and I was like, why did this other card pop up in my hand? And I was like, oh. So I played that one, and then that's when it clicked. I was like, oh, fuck. I can just fucking do this until I run out of creatures, and I'm just left with, like, fucking swamps and fucking artifacts in my hand. So that for blue, because Cyclonic Rift...
this is the obvious.
Yeah, Prognostic Sphinx. Those are, yeah, duh.
No, okay. Consecrated Sphinx.
Consecrated Sphinx, I'm sorry. or the one that makes them pay for attacking.
Right.
Not that one. That one's okay because that's just paying two or whatever. But the one that you draw cards from, that's Rhystic Study.
Right. I'm just saying those are like when you think of blue, the best cards in blue, those happen to be. So, have you come up with a multicolor
aura shards, man? One aura white and ground. This card's gross.
This is like
whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment. So you can just fucking destroy the fucking field of shit.
So fucked up.
It's pretty much bullshit.
Up card.
That card is fucking stupid good.
So I was playing my artifacts deck against...
Why did they fucking print something like that? That's so stupid.
Brian wanted to learn how to play some of these other decks that I have, and I was like, cool, you know, play my tokens deck. You know, that's... And then I was like, my artifact, you know, given the right draws, it's pretty fair. And then he played Aura Shards... And just decimated my entire board with tokens. And I was like, fuck. that card's good. Like, I know it's good. I put it in there for a reason. But being on the other side.
And you have, like, artifact lands and stuff like that. And everything just dies.
It is devastating.
Yeah.
Just fuck up everything. Okay, it's
pretty, pretty amazing.
So, blue. What you got for blue?
No, we already said blue. Rustic study.
Okay, so
that one.
Well, rustic study. Those are classics. Like, what's
he's looking for more? Obscure,
but I already, the one that we already talked about, the one that.
Okay, so Kindred
one.
Discovery, you agree?
Okay,
you
so agree with? Other blue ones that are super important.
But right,
replication.
Okay,
right, replication has to be in my decks.
Yeah, but no I'm thinking what. More like undervalued. Like other people don't play it, but you're like, oh my gosh, this has to go in my deck.
Huh, in blue. Oh, man.
I don't mind that. What the fuck's that? What's that goddamn squid?
I don't have any other ones.
Oh, you're talking...
Chasm Skulker?
Chasm Skulker. That's like, it's one of my all-time cards I want to play, and like, even though it usually doesn't work out, when it does, it's fucking sweet, and I want it to work out so bad.
Well, you
I just love that card.
You have it in your the Locust God deck, correct?
Yep.
But and you also have the god, the red god.
What's Purphoros.
Purphoros, right? Yeah, in that deck?
Yes, I do.
So you can just build up your squid, and then if he were to die, which people want him to die, he just drops 20 fucking squids, and then you do fucking 40
damage.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. Yeah.
I don't have any more blue, I don't think.
No blue?
No, I don't think so. I think we already went through them.
Okay, so black.
I mean, I could say, like, yeah, Dig Through Time. You know, once again, it's more, like, obvious ones.
Right.
Like, why would you not play 2 mana, fucking draw 2 cards, instant speed, pick out of the top 7? Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to black. What is
black.
What is a card that overperforms that doesn't really get a lot of love in black?
The one
for
that
you?
Destroys 2 creatures.
The one okay, that has, the Undaunted?
Yes.
Okay.
That card is legit and will be in every deck for sure. Because even if it's just the fact that it kills 2, even if it was 6 mana, even if it wasn't cheaper and it didn't have that text, it still is destroy 2 target creatures, instant speed. That card is amazing. Or like Murderous Cut is like the same thing, you know, but cheaper.
And you don't see that a lot.
No,
much.
But it's just 1 black mana to kill a creature, and that's totally fine. I mean, of course, there's like Damnation and stuff like that, or like we all play. Gurik's Wake.
Gurik's Wake is kind of like the black.
Which is pretty
so,
but that's common too. Like people are going to play that.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's that common. I think a lot of Damnation and a lot of Decree of Pain.
I disagree. I think that's very well played.
I think that card goes in every black deck. I just bought like
No Mercy.
No Mercy.
No Mercy is the one that goes in every deck, for sure.
Okay, so yeah, whenever a creature does combat damage to you, that player sacrifices it.
Well, destroy that creature, not a sacrifice.
Okay.
So it is worse than that, because that would be amazing if it was sacrifice. But it's just destroy that creature. Because I remember we were playing, and then you made all your artifacts indestructible.
Mm.
And I was like, haha, No Mercy don't matter no more.
Right.
I give a fuck about this card. Okay, cool.
No Mercy, no matter.
Yeah. You got one?
Crow? Black?
Grave Pact's my
favorite. Oh, yeah, Grave Pact.
The Grave Pact, Dictator of Erebos combo, just, I love it. That's why you guys destroy my Grave Pact every time as soon as you can. Like, I love that card on the field.
It's true.
Green?
Green. What do we got? Green. I didn't really think too far ahead with these.
I mean, green, I really like that one where it's 4 mana, it's 3 and a green, and you get to search your library for 2 forests and put them on the battlefield. And it's 2, you don't put them tapped. Not like explosive vegetation, and you can get any forest.
Yeah, it's not basic.
And you can't get basics, you know, you can't get blue or whatever, but you can get any shock lands or anything, even like a Murmuring Bosk or whatever the hell it's called, or you can get like whatever you want that says forest, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's pretty sweet because you're paying 4, but you're getting 2 mana of that back, like you're untapping 2 lands essentially, but it's better than that because you accelerated your mana twice. So when you draw that, in your, you know, opening hand or in the first few turns, you go, oh, this is like, I have to play this. I don't even care if I have a better, someone would call a better thing. Like, this is such a an easy way to fucking ramp. You know what I mean? It's not just explosive vegetation, which is totally playable. It's better than that. I just can't think of what the name is, but that is a pretty amazing green card.
I feel like Knife's green card has to be Secure Tribe Elder.
Secure Tribe Elder, yeah. It does overperform in Mirren. Like a fuck ton if you're able to just get those two online right quick. That's so easily abusable. You can just ramp to nobody's end. I want to say the Zendikar Resurgent, is that?
That's a 7-mana one?
Yeah.
That's the one that taps mana. For double yeah, and you draw cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like that's, I mean, that's like starting to gain popularity. It is. But
what
it's
about,
not super well known
what
yet.
About the 4-mana green one that adds 2 green on each main phase?
Oh.
Oh, the fucking...
Conjure Dragons?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Okay, yeah, that's good. You can add double green.
I don't actually play it. So I'm just saying for you because you play it and it seems to work pretty well for you.
Yeah, that was good.
So, yeah. Any more green ones? What do we got?
Evolutionary Leap. I'm a fan of that one.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like that one as well if you're playing a creature-heavy deck. You know, because board wipes are so prevalent, you can just play that, leave some green open, boom.
What about
Seasons Past?
Exploration. I'm just kidding. I was because remember we were playing that and it's like, man, this is fucking garbage.
One of yours, I would assume would be Seasons Pass because you always seem to get that and it's
yes.
always a blow.
No, yes, that is, and that's probably number one. It depends on the deck because right. it needs to fill up the graveyard in some way or another. But the Seasons Pass is the look on your guys' face when I get back fucking Force of Will and Cyclonic
Rift.
Any of
it. It was about you getting back Decimate.
Exactly.
And all the rest
fucking
of it,
exactly.
You. Don't care. But then,
yeah, but
no, fuck you. Me and I know what's going on here. We don't care what the rest of you get back. Yeah, Force of Will. Oh, it's just great. It's the fucking annoyance level of Decimate again. It's like, fuck you. You cast that card 3 times a game, and I just want to punch you in the dick. Every time. I just want to punch you in the dick so hard.
But also,
I'm going to punch you in the dick now, because I'm making it now.
Force of Will. So yeah, Seasons Pass is pretty fucking gross. And it shovels back in. That's also pretty nice. So, yeah, that's a good card. What about red?
Impact Tremors.
Impact Tremors is good. Deserves the right deck, but I totally see what you're saying. That's a very important card.
Like,
to a lot of things.
I love that style of deck too. So like I have multiple decks built around that kind of thing. So like I know Purphoros is like super popular. I don't actually have a Purphoros deck, but I had like the fucking Locust God and like fucking Impact Tremors is definitely in that deck.
Well, Purphoros is kind of like sort of banned in our fucking playgroup. Like we know. We fucking played against that shit.
We haven't discussed that at all.
No, yeah, but
it's in my tokens deck.
No.
It means as a
commander.
Oh yeah,
because
we've
played that shit too much on MTGO, and you're just like you're just gonna win. Like that's all that fucking deck does.
Well,
win.
Well, whenever I play against a Purphoros deck, like that's the commander, I don't care about what anybody else is doing. I kill them, and the dude's always like, dude, why you gotta come at me? Blah blah blah. Like they just played a whatever. I'm like, I don't care. Like, if you're playing Purphoros or you're playing Goblin, you know, whatever the thing that spits out, you can tap and make that many goblins, however
yeah,
many
yeah,
goblins.
Yeah.
I just kill those fuckers first.
Cranko,
because it gets,
mob boss.
Yeah, Cranko. That shit gets out of control. It's like, don't try and pretend
yeah, you're gonna have one
like your deck isn't crazy.
And you're going to go fucking ham. Absolutely ham with it.
So I would have to say for my red, something that overperforms for me is Ogre Battle Driver.
Yeah, the haste and everything gets +2/+0 when they enter the battlefield.
Yeah, I fucking love that card, and it gives me those explosive turns where you're like, oh, dude, he can't fucking... He has barely anything on the board. And then I play that, and I drop a bunch of tokens, and I hit each of you guys for 20, and it's like, oh. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I don't... I mean, I play red in a fair amount of my decks, but I'm trying to think of, like, red card that is to me amazing, and I can't really think of. I think red's probably the weakest color in Commander, so I'm trying to think like what is even like super powerful. Because the ogre thing, that's cool, but like I would, you know, and I'm glad that you like it, but in my head I'm like, Commander is so much more than that card, you know. So,
yeah, obviously.
Of course, you just like it. That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
It's stuff that doesn't, you know, really get its praise that it should.
Yeah, I like that one. That's 3-mana instant that I get to like pick any permanent, and then you guys. Shuffle it in your library and then...
Chaos Warp.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
Okay, what about... you bought the mono-red pre-constructed commander deck.
Yeah, 2014.
Yes. And so, Dreddy.
Yeah.
The Planeswalker Dreddy's commander.
Pretty gross, yeah.
And that one fucking card where you can just fucking bounce shit back
gross.
And
you
sacrifice...
Trade artifacts, basically. You, like, sacrifice one that's... on the battlefield, and you bring back any artifact that's from the graveyard, and you get to tap and do it whenever you want to.
Yeah, so, I mean, for you, I know you were playing that combo.
And we said, fuck you, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah. No, I haven't played it in, like, 2 years.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
it got so bad to where, like, no matter what we did, 2-1, it did not matter. You were winning if you had that combo online. So we said, no, you can't do that anymore. But
that artifact that destroys target permanent.
Right, the bad. Ish fucking whatever.
Ish, the ish mail. Fucking whatever.
The ish whatever.
And then white, what do we got?
One of my favorite red, white cards of all time is Mentor the Meek.
Mentor of the Meek.
Yeah, that's when you pay one draw card.
Right.
Whenever a creature power two or less enters the battlefield.
And that's one of white's very few card draw engines, if you're like just in white.
Yeah, besides even just the card draw part, I just always, since I started playing Magic, I just love that card. So whenever I get a chance to build around it and play with it, I do. So I'm just a fan of it.
What about the one that makes the 4/4 angels when you don't get attacked for four turns?
Ooh.
And then I get to pay two mana and just keep pumping out fucking angels. That one from the original Zendikar.
Ooh, I forget its name.
The card's really good, though.
But I hate that card, yeah.
I dig the one with that enchantment where you fucking, what is it? After you get a certain amount of enchantments, every time you put an enchantment in the field or every time you put something, you get the angels out of it.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you play an enchantment, you get a 4/4 angel.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of enchantment, so like,
that one's good. That underplay the new card, Teferi's Protection.
Right.
Yeah.
That one is fucking ridiculous. That one's a really good card. I mean, like, your life total can't change and nothing can be fucking killed, and like, that's.
It can be a severe blowout when somebody, when you pull a Napoleon,
I mean,
basically,
dude,
is what we call it, where you're making this big calculated move. You're going in. You're going in for the kill. You know, you're putting all your resources. You're getting your combo together.
Luminarch Ascension.
Yeah, Luminarch Ascension.
Okay, sorry.
So you're getting all Napoleon up, ready to, you know, cross the border and take you down. And then you play Teferi's Protection. And basically, you now have to retreat with your tail between legs. Nothing is done.
It's like Cryptic Command, where it has that the text alongside it that you can't die this turn. That's what it says.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Cryptic Command essentially says one-on-one is like, you have this in hand, and if they're not playing blue, you do not die this turn.
One of the cards I hate getting played against me the most, it's like, I feel it's like the most, like, dick slap fucking card in white for Commander. It's just, it's a fuck you. Darksteel Mutation. For one and a white. Enchant creature is an insect artifact creature with base power and toughness 0/1 that's indestructible and has loses all of their abilities.
Basically,
it's a fuck your commander.
You can't kill your commander because it'll spring it back or exile or tuck it or none of that stuff. But we can turn it into an 0/1 for
does nothing.
That can't be destroyed.
God.
Yes, that is. I mean, I don't. That card, just in general, like, no matter what format, I love to fucking play that. I play a lot in Tiny Leaders.
It's definitely an MTGO. I play it on MTGO because it's just a fun card.
I've had it done to me a couple times in Commander as well. And it's like, oh, my deck can't do anything about that. This is a blue-black deck. I hope I can sacrifice it somehow.
Yeah, most of my fucking, like, I'm Dimir. So most of the shit, I can't fucking do anything about this goddamn card.
For white, I would have to say Cathar's Crusade. I'm not sure if that is popular enough that it's,
that card?
It's well
I don't know
known.
What that card is.
So it's 3 white. I'm on MTGO right now. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on it, or put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
Yeah, that one's fine. I mean, it's good, but I find that it underperforms for some reason. I don't know why.
Right. So in my, I have it in my Marchesa deck, which has equal parts sacrifice tokens and other such kind of.
But that has it where if somebody has a counter on it, then you get to bring it back again or something like that. Is that that same deck?
No, that's the other Marchesa.
Oh, okay, because that would be good with it.
This is Marchesa that spits out the Death Touch that introduces the drawing card mechanic.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Where you're the fucking king of the castle.
Monarch.
The Monarch! And as for colorless, I mean, is there really anything that sticks out?
Solemn Simulac.
Throne of the God Pharaoh.
Throne of the God Pharaoh is pretty decent.
That's my favorite card created.
That's a very, very good card. Yeah, I mean, any of the mana rocks. I remember the one that I play, that is the, it taps for any color mana, but it also, on your first main phase, if you didn't tap it last turn, basically, you get to create a second mana.
Yeah, the one that we don't really understand and don't care to, like, try to read, you're just like, yeah, whatever, you know you're cheating, it's fine.
Yeah, we just take your word for it, and we have to read it 1,000 times.
Well, you just stop reading, because we're like, yeah, we get it, it's annoying to keep track of.
But
so.
I just said what it did, and
yeah,
you guys
don't
listen,
but
I
don't
understand.
Like, yeah, but it's like when he reads a rule book, we don't actually pay attention to what you're saying.
It's a rule book? Yeah, so that one's pretty good. And of course, just Chromatic Lantern, but these are not like exciting cards.
Right.
I'm trying to think of any like exciting colorless card.
So I got Trading Post.
I mean, the right build, yeah, it can do a lot of work.
Yeah, especially these are going to overperform in niche decks or specific decks, not in every deck. Vedalken Orrery is kind of a cop out. Everybody knows that card.
What about the 9-mana Eldrazi that it brings back something from the graveyard on the battlefield?
Okay.
And that one's like I think it's like a fucking 9/7 Annihilator 2 or something like that.
That's pretty much the only Eldrazi we really play with Annihilator in Commander, because we're not a big fan of just indestructible Eldrazi, I guess we lose sort of thing. So yeah, that one. That was a good one. Artisan of Kozilek.
Sounds right. Yeah. Sounds right, yeah. I would say that's the name of the card.
And then the only other thing that I can think of that kind of overperforms is Tamiyo's Journal. You know?
Tamiyo's Journal is good. I just bought 10 foil clue tokens.
Oh, nice.
Because why not?
From
Unstable.
From Unstable.
So I have to leave.
Right. And what? So we're just going to mosey on over real quick before you leave.
Okay, what?
And I'm going to make you stay a little bit longer. is Unstable. You bought us a box for Christmas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan.
You're the man, Jan. And since you have to leave, just give us your quick synopsis.
Unstable's sick. It's dope. And it's sick. And it's the bee's knees.
It's gnarly.
It's gnarls.
It's rad.
It's totes, bro. It's fucking totes adorbs.
Ah.
That's it.
It's fetch.
It's fucking fetch. So fetch.
Dude. Yes. Shibby.
Yeah. we had a great time drafting.
That was a lot
it
of fun.
It's fun. It's the only problem I have with it is that it's hard to find what play style you want, because you're just going for the best cards and they're all like from different clans and all this shit. And so it's hard to just say, basically we need to like draft with like more packs or something like that, because it's hard to get a couple of these good like sneak cards, and after that you're going like, yeah, but I kind of just need this other one that's also in blue, but it's from another thing.
I would say like
kind of go away from the strategy, but it does something powerful, but it's like vanilla powerful. It's not like within So
it
I have
feels
a problem
like
with that.
They have a lot of like almost like, you know, tribal things in itself that don't cross over enough very well with itself, but then as you're drafting, you don't see enough of the cards that work together well enough. So it's a little bit like almost over tribalness to it.
Yeah.
But it's still fun as shit.
It was super fun. I mean, it's better than I'm making it sound. It's really fun. And I'm trying to think of any other things to really say about it. I mean, contraptions are absolutely insane and a total must. And if you have more contraptions than everyone else on the board, I mean, the only way you lose is if people gang up on you, because contraptions are fucking insane. They're gaining you life, they're killing creatures, they're fucking, they're doing everything that you want to do in Magic.
It's
and
if you can draft some good contraptions and ways to get them out, it is ridiculous.
You know what I'm going to say, too, is that red is really powerful in this set, which is not common, I feel like.
Because
red,
it helps get contraptions out the easiest?
Yes, and the creatures are pretty good. Like, I'm finding a lot of creatures that I'm like, yeah, this creature is, like, sick. Like, the one that, you know, you roll dice and deal damage to, like, a creature, just a common. And it's, like a 5-mana 3/3, but you get to kill a creature. And I'm like, yeah, that's fucking awesome. And you can attach a fucking augment card to it. And so whenever something happens, he does that again. I'm like, man, that's for just a common, I'm down with that, you know? And I think that red is my favorite color in the set. And, of course, it says a lot of assemble contraptions. And then I like blue a lot, too. Mm. Blue. I've drafted blue both times, and I've been happy with my blue deck.
And we've only drafted twice.
Yeah.
So we're still pretty early on in our experience with Unstable. Before, when it was announced, I was like, fuck Unstable. I don't give a shit about unsets. This is dumb. Because all I had to base that my experience off of, I've never played any of the unsets, but just reading the past uncards from Unhinged and Unglued, it was just like, yeah, they're kind of goofy, but there's no like synergy or cohesion to the set. It's just random goofy cards. Like, we could make a fucking unset, you know? Like, that's fucking stupid. But after reading the spoilers,
I wouldn't thought of doing 1.5 damage. I'm just saying, half damage thing was
high damage.
So that one fucking pumps me the fuck up. That car is like, yeah, that's cool shit.
So I, after the spoilers, I was like, all right, this is looking pretty cool. After playing it, I'm sold. I am fucking sold on it. So hyped on it that we are going to make a cube out of Unstable. Obviously, we're going to have to change it up. It's not going to be like the classic like one-ofs, like most cubes, because we're just going to use Unstable cards. And we're probably going to take out the Outsider cards and the Dexterity cards and just use the rest of everything else.
I will say something else. That little blurry little 1-1 for one dude is like the most blurry broken Beeble card ever. Yeah, Blurry Beeble. He's the most broken card ever.
That's true.
Draft. Just draft like 6 of these things if you can. I don't care what the fuck else is in the pack, because this card is 1 mana, 1 blue mana for a 1-1, and if nobody's wearing glasses when it's cast, not like in a react, can't react to it or nothing like that, then it's unblockable for the rest of the game. And so you have an unblockable 1-1, which is okay, but it also literally just like Jace, Vin's Prodigy fucking loots.
Yeah.
Like it just fucking...
You contraptions that pump up its fucking power, and you just fucking get through for free.
You just
free,
get in, and contraptions, yeah, you fucking
now
get
it has plus one all of a sudden.
Vigilance and fucking whatever else, and people are going to have to use a 5-mana removal spell to kill this thing that is...
1 mana.
Drawing and discarding... And just getting them to have the best hand ever. So it's like a better Jace Finn's Prodigy, which is, I'm serious, it's a fucking common better than a mythic planeswalker. You know what I mean? It's so fucking ridiculous.
I have to put some glasses somewhere in this garage so when we play, I can remember just to go grab them and put them on. Because when we were drafting, I was like, oh man, I need to go get glasses because, you know, I saw the card, we're passing it around.
Yeah.
And then I just forgot.
So,
and then he played it, and then I forgot during the second game. You know, it's fucking broken.
So think about like Jace Friend's Prodigy, but every time it loots, it does damage to an opponent. You know what I mean? But it costs, well, but no, it's not even 2 mana, it's 1 mana. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
I mean, it is easy to hate out if we remember about it.
But nobody's remembered to put on glasses, which means that the 3 that I drafted were unblockable and did a lot of fucking work. So horrible. That was fantastic.
Horrible.
It's just so good. Deplorable. So that's what I have to say about that. I gotta go. Thanks, boys. See you later. Peace out. Love you long time.
Love you long time.
Oh, okay, last thing. I'm gonna post it on Twitter, but... We are going to be signing and mailing out some 3-headed goblins from the Unset, the triple strike goblin mutant that has all 3 of us, in the artwork. We talked to Wizards of the Coast, and
we finally got a card.
They verified it.
So, you know.
Did we decide who's who?
I think
Niece, they've already, the audience has decided.
Yeah, Corey Niece, I'm the Nibbler. Hot Sauce is on the right.
And on the beard?
Right? I just remember. Oh, no. Hot Sauce is on the middle because I'm nibbling his ear.
Yeah.
In a sexual, aggressive way.
Yes. Agreed.
And then,
I'm cackling away.
Yes. Exactly. So we're going to be signing these cards. If you want one of these cards, please just hit us up on Twitter at our If Lance Could Kill account. Or go to our website, iflanceconkill.com.
Do we still have that?
Yeah, we absolutely do.
Do we? Like, can we update that thing?
Yeah, we can do whatever we want with it. Do you have any computer skills?
I mean, I can figure it out.
I don't think you can. Anyways, so go to there, and you can see it's like a contact ILCK. You can go there and just send us a fucking email and say that you want one of these cards, and maybe tell us why you deserve such a fucking fair prize.
Or
at no cost
to
you. We'll just fucking sign them and mail them out, you know, whatever.
So, just real quick, I know you gotta go, so pack up your things and get the fuck out. But Heavy Meta, I think I mentioned earlier, did a Christmas episode. And because they did the Christmas episode, they were kind of looking back on their past episodes. So I went back and downloaded some of the funniest episodes. And some of the funniest are when, like, they have a good story. Like, an email, like, Jay Bush came on and had a funny shit story that got emailed to him. So I would love it if some of our listeners... sent in some stories.
Yeah, man. It'd be great to interact with the fun people. Like, have a conversation with shit. Talk shit about your story. Get your shit out there. Talk with us.
Yeah, preferably, you know, a real life story or, you know, something that happened to you or something that happened, you know, that you heard about or something. Because crazy bananas shit happens all the time. So please send us an email at iflandscouldkill gmail.com.
Do exactly that. Bye, guys.
I love you long time. Thank you. Don't forget your vape.
Yeah, every time you forget your goddamn
every
vape.
Every time. It's right there on the table.
Every goddamn time.
This is my vape.
Yeah, throw in the trash.
This is my vape, man.
All right, later. Take a fat pack.
Oh, thank God he's fell gone. With the hook.
So yeah, bro, you walked out. But I got the Nintendo Switch for Christmas, and
what?
It's amazing, Nintendo Switch.
Oh yes, yes. Fucking so good. As he walked in late, we were interrupted and disheveled, not by his walking in late or by his horribly offensive appearance as a person.
Well, I mean, like,
but just
like, I'm
because
losing weight, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
Underneath his arm. Is a Nintendo, well, was also an old Jack in the Box bag and half a drinking Martinelli's.
But dude, under, have you had this part of the side of Martinelli's? Like, it's like a Christmas staple.
I
mean.
I get it, but just coming in with a old fucking half warm, half drinking one. So, but what was more impressive, underneath the other arm was a Nintendo Switch. So you got it for Christmas, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I thank my cousin for that because, like, you know, you see the Switch and there's things about it. Like, you know, I've kind of burned the past of the Wii and the Wii U and, like, Nintendo being Nintendo. And, like, you know, you love Mario, love all that shit growing up. But, like, they've been coasting on that for years. And it's been disappointing to a degree. And
well, they take risks and sometimes those risks don't pay off.
Take risks in system. They don't take risks in games. Like, they've been so backwards on games that's like, you have to be a little kid and enjoy it, or you just buy the Mario lines.
Well, also, like, with the 3DS, like, they did the whole, hey, we're gonna release all the old school games. And then that only lasted for maybe 6 months or a year, mm-hmm. you know, and they released maybe 20, 30 yeah. old school games, and then that program just stopped.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's the whole reason I bought a 3DS, is so I could do that, you son of a bitch. Now I have to get this Bluetooth controller. So what games did you get for it?
Super Mario Odyssey, which I got to give it a quick review on that game. Like, it is the reason, like, my cousin had it, and I played it for, I don't know, half hour at his place on, like, Thanksgiving. And it is the, like, instant reason of, like, okay, well, no more thinking, I'm getting the Switch for Christmas, or I'm buying it, or whatever it may have you. Because, as I was describing to my brother, you know, one of the best Mario games of all time, like, granted, we all love the old platformers, one of the single best games, not even just Mario, standalone, like, one of the best games is Super Mario 64. Like, can you agree on that game? Like, that was one of the a pivotal fucking point in games, I feel like.
What I will liken it to is... Also, Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 were bird's eye view. Mm. And so the concept, and like dealing drugs and killing hookers and all that stuff, when you're a little kid, you're like, oh my God, this is the first time that I've been able to do something so deplorable in a video game. This, yeah. you know, this is amazing. And same with, to a different extent, same with Mario. Oh my God, this game is so iconic. It's so great. I love it. I'm going to keep buying every game, whatever.
Yeah.
But then Mario 64 came out. Also... On the other side with the GTA, GTA 3 came out. Those were game changers because it took this franchise, this entity that you were already just like sold on.
Yeah.
You loved it. And then they made it 3D and it just became more real.
Oh, man.
It became fucking awesome. Forget the fact that you had to use the shitty fucking Nintendo 64 controller.
I'm on the other camp of that. I'm one of the few that actually love that controller.
I mean, I just remember trying to, like, climb up a tree and then just doing, like, a small circle, many circles around the tree, because trying to get the fucking joystick just to actually get, so you're, like, turning and you don't cut the fucking turn close enough and you're just doing circles around whatever object you're trying to get. So it's just, like, things like that. I mean, I don't mind the controller when I'm playing Mario 64, obviously. We played 64, all sorts of games for a long time, for many years. You just fucking get used to it. Now looking back, yeah, it's fucking garbage, but it didn't stop me from enjoying the games that were on the 64.
Still looking back, I still like the controller. I get your camp. Most people think that controller... You look at it, it's like, who the fuck came up with this fucking design?
Yeah, but somebody was on drugs.
I dig the controller, though. I think it's sweet. Anyways, to that degree, Super Mario Odyssey, it is like the next, like, it is 10 years ago, Super Mario 64... It is that game, but now updated and like it's that much more amazing because now it's 10 years later of more gaming and this and that. But right. It is, you play it and you're instantly like, I've seen the Promised Land again. Like, this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
This game, Super Mario Odyssey, I can't talk about it enough. If you understand gaming, if you like Super Mario 64, and if you don't like Super Mario 64, like, kill yourself. I don't care. You're an idiot. There's literal no way you can say you don't like that game. Like, literal no way.
Or at least at the time when it came out. You can look back and think whatever. But, like, at the time, it was fucking impressive.
So that's what this game is. Like when they had, like, Super Mario Galaxy and Galaxy 2, like, those games were garbage. Yeah. Just horrible. Just bad. This Super Mario Odyssey, it is the end-all, be-all.
Which one was the one where you, like, would shoot water or whatever?
Super Mario Sunshine. I love that
game. Oh, that was horrible.
No, you gotta play it more. Like, a lot of people love that game, too. That's a good one.
No.
But it's a totally different concept. But yeah, that game was a lot of fun. But Galaxy was garbage. Super Mario Odyssey, like, it is fucking amazing. It is that fucking good. So that sold me on getting the system. Because, like I said, like, I was kind of, like, not sure I wanted to get this. Because, you know, even, you know, the Nintendo hasn't moved forward in gaming. But now, like, they're trying to hopefully get a little bit more into actual games. We had this discussion between, like, kid games and actual gamers. And, like, Nintendo's being for, like, the non-gamer player. Other than us having nostalgia for our Mario lines and our Zelda lines and things right. like that and those franchises. But now with them, like, you know, putting Skyrim on this thing, like, that means that the system has the capability of playing actual games.
Right.
So that's exciting for me future-wise. But I was still, like, on the edge. When I played Super Mario Odyssey at my cousin's house, I was like, wow. Wow. Just, you gotta play this game. It's amazing.
Because usually when, like, a Nintendo system comes out, you know, it's not usually, like, they have the franchises of Mario, Zelda, and Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, like, Kirby and all the rest of that stuff. Yeah,
all the ones you can think of, but they're all that same basic line, I feel like, of nostalgia. Yeah.
So, regardless of whether you have that system or not, there's always, like, a wanting.
There's,
like,
always a pull.
There's, like, man, I'm missing out on the new Mario.
Right.
Whether it's good or not. You know, there's always just that. Because I grew up just straight Nintendo. Until PlayStation 2. That's when I...
See, my first system ever was actually Sega Genesis, so I had to go backwards to Mario.
Okay, gotcha. So, but there's always that pull. So now with this, not only is there the pull, there's these two amazing games, Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, that are just getting ridiculous reviews. I don't even care if the reviews were bad, because when I watch those games, my little average Irish pecker just starts shaking in anticipation of when I'm going to be able to play this in my own house. So
that's why I brought it, because I didn't want to just say it. I wanted to bring it and make you jealous.
That's fine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not like, hey, I'm going to hang out a little while longer, and I know that Sauce is leaving at 7, and you can try and play it. No, fuck you, you can't touch it.
I'm going home, I just want to show it off.
But honestly, you are going to play at least 10 minutes of Super Mario Odyssey while I stay here, so you can be so jealous.
Fuck yeah, hopefully, my chick, I mentioned it last podcast, I'm not sure if it was the one we didn't send out or not, but she had a bridal shower registry, and we did it at, you know, Bed and Bath and Beyond or Body Works. I don't know. One of those, you know. And you got, you know, put vacuums and espresso machines or what the fuck ever. Boring shit. And then we went to Target. And the whole reason she wanted to go to Target is not because of anything else other than putting the Switch on there with Mario Odyssey. And then it's like, okay, let's look around for anything else we could put on. But that was, like, her number one thing. And she made that known to my multiple mom and people. My sister-in-law. So, you know, she's like, fingers crossed.
Hoping so bad.
Yeah, we're going to get that, you know. But so hopefully I will, hopefully next year, within a month, I will be playing the Switch as well. So, okay, so you've played it yourself in your own house.
Yes.
Okay. How is the, I want to know, like, what do you think, and what is your opinion on being able to play, like, the handheld, and then switching it to the TV, and then the controllers, and, like, having them on the side, and then when you switch, having them together, and, like, all the quote-unquote customizable aspects of it. What's your thoughts?
So I'll say this. Like, one, I have not set up to a TV yet. I did play it on the TV. I did play it handheld and on the TV with my cousins.
Okay.
And having the TV, that's fucking cool. One of my favorite things about it myself is, like, I play on my iPad all the damn time. So I'm excited. I can sit there and, like, watch TV, and I can have this thing sitting on my lap, like, Game Gear style. Like, the screen is large. The graphics on it are fucking sweet. Like, for me, like, I'm going to hook it up to the TV, but it's going to be actually playing on that TV 5% of the time. Right. Maybe. Like,
mostly
I am stoked.
Mostly
on this
if you're going to be playing with somebody else, you'll put it up on the TV.
Yeah, that's about it.
Other than that, yeah, it's going to be in your lap.
Yeah.
Comfortable, comfy on the couch.
And, like, from there, it's like, especially with the Mario game, it's you can play it with the actual little side controllers directly on the screen, and it's fine.
Right.
But it's such more of an advantage to actually have little things separate. And so you have them individually. Because there's little things, like they both have little vibrators in them, so like fucking, you know, motion controlled. So you sit there and fucking with the right hand, you flick it and you throw your hat. At that same time, you can turn your wrist to a certain way and it'll turn the fucking hat. You can do moves where like the hat will spin around you. You can do things where you fuck, you know, just all kind of shit to it. And it's like they just sit in your hand so fine that you're just the screen set up in front of you and you're just like you're not constricted by having to have your arms crossed in front of you holding a controller directly in front of you.
Right.
Like it is set up where you're. I'm sitting here talking to you right now. I could be some Italian grandma fucking da-da-da-da-da, all fucking, you know, hands and talking like nonstop. And you're just fucking playing the game while I'm talking. Like, it's nice. It is a nice setup, dude. It feels everything about it smooth. It's
Let me grab one of them.
Check it out.
Let me put it in my hand.
So the other thing is, like, they also have little things so it'll like go on the side of it.
Okay.
So it'll fucking, let's see, that's the wrong side. You can make it so, like, the controller has a little bit more girth to it when it's separate.
Okay, okay.
So it has, like, safety fucking, like, wristbands.
Oh, holy shit. Okay, so on the face of it is the... There's a tiny little D-pad. I assume that's a D-pad, right? Is that actually functioning, or is that just one solid button? See that little D-pad right there?
Oh, that's like, the plus minus. So it's... That's not a tiny D-pad, no.
Okay, so that's just a button. No, anyways.
The other side has analog and D-pad to it, or whatever.
I mean, gotcha, like, gotcha. So there's the analog stick, there's, you know, the four buttons, X, Y, B, A, and then on the side that's very skinny and sleek, there's the fucking select and start buttons. Fucking nice, and it's right where your fingers, like, it's right where your ring finger and your pointer finger, or your middle finger and your ring finger would go.
So, like, those little things right here where it adds a little more girth to the controller if you want it, but personally, I like it without that little extra girth.
Yeah,
it just fits in your hand so perfectly. It's just, like, this small little thing that just floats in your hand, like, nice and comfortable, and, like, you got a good grip to it with how it's designed. Like, it seemed like it'd be, like, blocky almost, but you put it in your hand, it's like, it just sits perfect there, doesn't it? Doesn't it just
feel
good?
That is very...
It's not going to slip out of your hands with a little trigger on the back. Like, nothing about it is like, oh, this doesn't feel right. No, it's like, it just fits in the palm of your hand.
Okay, so I can only liken it to how we got used to holding our cell phones. You know what I mean? You get used to holding your cell phone by putting, like, your pinky underneath it. And so, like...
Almost, yeah.
So your cell phone can kind of rest on the side of your pinky. Mm-hmm. And so at least that's how I'm holding this controller right now, is that it's sitting on the pinky, and then my thumb has a perfect range of motion to hit all the buttons on the controller. And then my pointer finger is resting right on the right bumper and the Z right trigger,
mm-hmm.
Easy access. And it's not too small to where it's going to be frustrating that you're going to, like... mash too many buttons, you know, if you go for an X
like,
or a Y.
Like, you're also just giving this review based on just holding it, like, not even playing a game right now. Like, and I'm telling you, like, when you add in the game factors to it, like, nothing about it feels off. Like, it feels so perfect and smooth in your hand. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it, it's kind of funky. They also have, like, a base controller. You can put them together and have the controller together so it's actually, like, a regular controller
in your hands,
like a PlayStation controller or whatever, Xbox controller. But... like, it's not necessary. Like, it's like they give you all these options just that way, however you like to play the game, however you like to use the controller. There's 20 different ways, but whatever. And I like having the things off the hilt and the scene screen sitting there. You can also play with those things on there.
Like, I think they knocked it out of the park in that aspect. Just obviously not having even touched a Nintendo Switch before. This is my first time. Just knowing that the customability, it's customizable to have it. So now it's in the kind of Xbox-oriented You know, the back,
handheld control,
the back of the controllers are, you know, in the palms, and everything's just right here. And then how is it on the screen? Because it slides onto the side of the screen.
Yeah. So basically, did you ever play Game Gear? You have a friend who had one?
Yes. Well, so I had a friend. Yeah. I think it was Reich, actually. He was a big Sega guy back then.
Yeah.
He had Sega TV,
I think
all
Reich
that
talked
shit.
About it. Yeah. So, without the Game Gear is like big and bulky. Like, I only like into that because it's like it feels like it's that size, except for like, instead of the screen being 2 inches by 3 inches, this screen's fucking
huge.
I don't know, 6x4 or something like that.
Yeah.
So check this out. It's not heavy or bulky. Like it feels like sit in your chair like you're gonna be comfortable.
Right.
Dude, that's perfect, isn't it? It's nothing wrong with that.
So I on Christmas when I went over to my fiance's family's house, one of the kids had a Wii U. And they also have a kind of, I don't know if it comes with it or it's an accessory, but pretty much it's this very bulky,
oh, huge.
Huge, almost uncomfortable to play, like handheld screen. And it was more akin to the Game Gear, and it was heavy, yeah. And I mean, I was still able to play and it was enjoyable, but yeah, the fact that it was just like huge in my hand,
like,
was
it felt
kinda,
like an old design that wasn't done right.
It
was
felt
like
a fucking old Space Invaders handheld game I had when I was like six, you know what I mean? It was
this
it
thing
was
is
big.
Like sleek and it's just perfect, dude. It's,
yeah, fits in the hands perfectly. Fingers, once again, able to reach all the buttons. Just sits in the hand perfectly. Yeah, I'm.
One of the coolest
things
about the system too is like it's legit. Like it's a. I forget. I kind of talked to me about it. It's like an old, not an old, but it's like a laptop fucking like, you know, CPU fucking thing to it. So like right. It actually has. It's pretty smooth. It turns on like instantly. And it's fucking ready to go. Like it's from power off to playing the game 3 seconds.
Yeah. There's no startup. There's no Sega.
Like I first turned it on, there's like an update. I'm like, oh, how long is the update going to take? Update took a minute and a half, and then it said to restart at the end of it. It restarted in 3 seconds.
That
I'm
is
like,
pretty nifty.
Wow. Like, I mean, it's a new system, so it's going to have a little update of everything now. But, right. Like, and, like, I don't know, that little touch, it feels good to have. Like, nowadays, when you buy, like, say you buy a game disc on Xbox,
right.
There's no game on that. It's a download code to go on. It's a download key to when you put it on your Xbox, and you get it from some server. And, like, I don't know. It's just something that there's something on a base level that annoys me about that. And it's like whatever, but it doesn't feel right that I'm buying this game disc. And I know you can buy it digitally, but it's fucked up that they don't even put the games on the disc anymore. So these little tiny look at the size of these little fucking little cartridges too.
Oh Jesus!
Small
those
as
are the,
shit.
Those are the smallest cartridges they've made yet.
And it's actually the game's actually fully.
That's
on there.
The size of my thumb.
Like thumbnail. Like. And I don't know, something that feels good about plugging that game in and the game's actually on the fucking cartridge. I'm not waiting 30 minutes to download a game.
So, what's the size of the hard drive on there?
Oh, you're getting into details I haven't really looked at. Oh, no, it's 32 gigs.
Okay.
32 gigs.
And does it have the standard, like, Nintendo game store on there?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Almost false. It has it, but I feel like they haven't ported over a lot of stuff to it yet. It's
I'm
a very smaller store. It doesn't have much retro games in there yet. So I started. That's one of the first things I did. I started looking at that.
Right.
Because I mean, like nostalgia wise, I'm gonna put some shit on there.
Yeah.
However, it's not on there yet.
Okay. So my that also, I was
tiny little port for more memory right there.
Oh, nice. Hidden got expandable button. Memory. Perfect. Love it.
Without having to buy your own stand, it also has its own little stand for it too.
Nice. So when you have the controllers in your hand, you can just have it fucking set up right there. So what I was working towards was I know that on the Wii or the Wii U, the store, they had, that Mario game I always talk about, Super Mario RPG
yes.
on there. And so I was excited to be able to get that on the Switch. They're probably
yet.
Still working on the store. I know when like Xbox One came out, the store was pretty bland.
Yeah, the
now
store,
it's
I mean, like, I don't know, say 40 games and like there's a bunch of random shit like you never heard of on there.
Gotcha.
But that's what every one of their fucking Nintendo stores has a bunch of weird shit.
Right.
There's like, also some other games and that, but nothing like legit, really old retro that you want to like. I had to buy this because this is a game I've played 100 times and I want to buy it again. So that stuff's not on there yet. But I don't know the plans, but I imagine like why would they not?
Yeah.
The Nintendo is built on nostalgia. Like why would they not make more money?
If they can squeeze another $4 out of Super Mario 3, like why not?
Yeah, and it's on the Switch, so they're going to charge 10 for it. I mean, like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think they charge 5 or 6 on the 3DS. So I'm super stoked for you, and hopefully for my own when I get it soon.
Yeah, I have nothing but like rave reviews on this so far. It's amazing. Like, dude, I was, like I said, iffy on wanting it, and beyond stoked that I have it.
What are some of the other games you got?
So I got Super Mario Odyssey, Zelda Breath of the Wild. My mom also has a little bonus, got my son Pokken Tournament DX, the new updated, more characters version of Pokemon Tekken style.
Right.
And Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which is probably heard of a little bit less.
So I have looked at this because I forget if I was reading an article or some website or something, but it was like they're taking Mario, this particular game, they're mixing it with another...
Rabbids, yeah. Which I've never been in the Rabbids series, but...
But the style of gameplay is more like the action points sort of thing, you know,
it's like a Fire Emblem, it's like XCOM,
right?
It's like chess battles,
right? So that's always exciting when they take an IP like Mario and then kind of put it in a different genre,
yeah.
Because even though it is RPG style, it's a different sort of RPG than the turn-based Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
So super excited to get your reviews on that once you get a good portion of the way through.
Like right now, actually, my son like really wanted to play it, so I've let him play it. And like at the beginning, he's able to beat a couple levels on his own. Like he did perfect. I'm like, oh fucking good job, buddy. And then after the first couple, like you're just getting used to, you know, movements. Then it starts becoming more strategic, where you actually have to move correctly and do shit. So
gotcha.
I'm just starting to get to that point, so I can't give you a full review.
Right.
I will say that because I love that style of series of games, I've played some intricate ones and I've played some shitty ones. And this doesn't feel shitty. It's very sleek. It's very fine. It's good. It also has the Mario feel to it. So that part's good.
But it's so far, but it's going to be simple.
Yeah, so far it seems a lot simpler than right. I want it to be. It doesn't seem right. So intricate. Granted, I don't have much time in this game yet. I don't have the next level where you're unlocking extra weapons or things like that. I don't have an in-depth review of it. I have a base level where it's really you've only played the... Almost like a tutorial.
Right.
So, like, I haven't seen
where
I have to be real strategic yet, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be very intricate.
Right, and that's generally what they do with the Mario games, you know. You always kind of want a little bit more out of them. Like, with Super Mario RPG, you know, it was amazing, and it's a damn near perfect game, but you're always like, maybe a more expansive talent tree sort of thing.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, with Paper Mario, you know, maybe a little extra talent tree sort of abilities, whatever. And then now they turned it into some sort of franchise.
Abomination
which,
shit
yeah, I don't
like,
give a shit
Paper
about.
Paper Mario, like, I love that fucking game. Paper Mario, the first one and the second one are just fantastic. Third one was okay, and now, like, what they're doing now, like, the sticker battle shit's just horrible. It's just so bad.
So, totally sidetrack, on my laptop, I have a bunch of emulators on there, and Paper Mario for the 64 has always been a pain in the ass for emulators. It always flickers for some reason,
really?
Because of the certain, engine it was built on or whatever they use. Anyways, it always, like, when you're in the town, mm-hmm. you know, it's, like, constantly flickering, and it just makes it unplayable.
Yeah.
And so... You know, years and years ago, I looked into it, and I was like, I just don't even want to fuck with it, whatever. And then, so now I looked into it, and they have, you know, there's ways to get around it, so I've been able to download some add-ons and some different video driver things, and so now I'm able to play it on my PC perfectly.
Nice.
Every once in a while, the sound's kind of off, but, like, other than that, like, it's fucking great. So
I love that
mentioning
game.
Paper Mario
on the 64, which I still have it on my 64.
Yeah, me too.
I've played through it easily, you know, 5 to 10 times. Like ten times is a high. I probably played the game at least 5 times. Like,
nice.
It's just that fucking good.
Hell yeah.
Same thing with the second one on the GameCube. Like, I love that one too.
Yeah,
super good. Thousand Year Door, which was like on the Wii.
Okay.
I think that was that. I think maybe that was GameCube. I don't know. Thousand Year Door was pretty good too, but that's when it started going a little downhill by comparison to what had been going on. But now, yeah, I really hope that they've learned the lesson of what they did this last time and go back to what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because they went less intricate and stupid with the sticker attacks and just a pain in the ass. They're trying to overly use the Wii U gamepad, and it was just horrible.
If they could just do literal Super Mario RPG 2, you know, just the fucking, the successor we wanted, you know?
I mean, like, I played Paper Mario before RPG, and I talked about it, that was kind of funny. Like, I feel like Paper Mario is Super Mario RPG in a new world, but it follows the same line,
it's
which
the,
I found
it,
very interesting.
Yeah, the Paper Mario is, like, the more spiritual successor to Super Mario RPG, but I think they have an opportunity and an ability to just nail it on the Switch.
I'd be down if they did that kind of thing. My only point was I wasn't mad at them for being Paper Mario. I thought it was really cool, different style of shit.
Yeah.
And actually, earlier we talked about how it went from this 2D platform Mario into Super Mario 64. And what I'm really excited about is the Pokemon version of that. Like, because that's coming. Like, and so, all these years of just the Game Boy and, like, this and that, how great that franchise has been. They are working on a Pokemon third-person view for, like, the Switch or for moving forward on the system. So, like, if they do that right, I am fucking stoked as shit for that. Like, I'm still a huge fucking fan of Pokemon. I have a Pokeball tattoo. I mean, I love Pokemon. So, like, I really hope that fucking comes to fruition and works out correctly.
Okay, so we're gonna circle back to a little Magic the Gathering for just a moment because, oh God, oh, did I not like it?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, did I retweet it? Did I do it? I think I did. I think there was a comment about me coming in my pants or something.
Uh-oh.
We're going back. Okay, so there's an article that was in Rolling Stone magazine.
On Magic?
On Magic the Gathering. So let me go ahead and just click on this. I already read it, but to have the ability to kind of give you a brief breakdown. So they're talking about basically Wizards of the Coast. It's not just strictly Magic.
Yeah, okay.
Talking about Wizards of the Coast and how the Dungeons & Dragons, Axis and Allies, Magic the Gathering, Duels Masters, and also soon a new Transformers trading card game.
Yeah, lame.
And so they're saying, like, you know, with the 27-year history of success, you know, they're pretty much the face of tabletop gaming.
Yeah.
You know. So it's basically they're talking to Chris Cox, which is the company president, you know, the guy that came over from Microsoft.
Well, that's a new booty, isn't it?
Yeah, they're trying to help bring it to the digital age.
Yeah.
So let's see. There are half a dozen video games in development for Magic the Gathering, and the company is looking into continuing the expansion of those property into movies, comics, and books.
Wow.
So that, right there, that simple run-on sentence, just gives me all the boners.
Right?
Because one, half a dozen video games.
Oh,
so that's probably including, I forget if they said it, that's including Arena or not.
That's
so,
gotta be.
So Arena is one of them. You know, let's say maybe another stupid puzzle quest. Let's say, hopefully, like, I personally...
We've heard of hopes of MMORPG, though.
Yeah, MMORPG. Also, I was thinking, how dope would it be to have just, like, a Pokemon... Not Pokemon, because that's more like you collect them. But more of, like, a Final Fantasy turn-based fucking game where you can pick, you know, unfortunately I'm going to go with the Gatewatch here. You can pick like two or three of the Gatewatch to play the game in.
Only choices.
That would be fuck, because, you know, like in the originals, you could pick like, oh, the blue mage or the fucking white mage or this or that or the thief or whatever. I think that would be fucking knock out of the park, and I'm talking about simple graphics. I'm not talking about reinventing the wheel.
Yeah.
I'm talking about,
you don't need to reinvent the wheel of graphics when you have good content.
Yeah, I'm saying just take that IP and just plug it in to a turn-based RPG sort of system. That way,
you know how hard I am right now for that game.
Oh,
it's like,
dude,
it's like a mind puppet, mind baby of you right now. I just want to fuck your skull because I'm so excited about that. I really want it to happen. If it doesn't happen now, I'm going to stab you.
Yeah, dude, I'll stab you too.
I'm so excited.
We'll take turns.
We'll die together.
So,
death pact.
You could easily just tell a magnificent Gatewatch story because they're kind of moving away from the Gatewatch, but they're still excited about using the individual Gatewatch characters.
Yeah, and that's like that. You're going to look at those. Those are the guys that... if you're going to mass market it or make it more of a corporate thing. No, that's who it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, and that's fucking simple. I'm going to accept that. Yeah. You know, I don't
fight that.
Yeah, that's duh.
It makes sense.
Yeah, total makes sense. And that's why they basically created the Gatewatch.
You're not going to Vraska to become your fucking poster child. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Like, Ugin, like, Spirit Dragon, like, that's cool, but there's a lot of backstory there that you're not going to get from... And becomes like, is this a dragon game? Like, no, it's not. It's not what it's going to be like. So.
Yeah, you're sticking with the five. Yeah. The Gatewatch five or whatever the
humans,
fuck.
Not fucking Medusas.
Yeah, exactly. So just plug that into a simple turn-based RPG sort of system. And then you can tell this magnificent story of the Gatewatch through that. Because
we're going to make a good story for the Gatewatch.
Well, yeah, first. Get some new writers. But so with the MMORPG, yeah, you could tell a good story with that. But with MMORPGs that don't really have like a nice wrap-up ending, you know, MMORPGs that are always just ongoing. Ongoing, yeah. Ongoing, ongoing. So there's no like real end to it, you know what I mean? But with a RPG, you can just have this nice linear story and just wrap it up real nice. Like a fucking book, you know? I think that would... So easy, so doable, and then you get to show off some of the spells and effects that these planeswalkers have in the cards. Oh, fuck! That just makes so much fucking sense to me. And I'm not talking. Well, I guess it would have to be some sort of like mobile game, you know? It out on the Xbox, bring it out on Steam and mobile, and you know, throw the Apple fucktards a bone.
I don't think you need to do that. I think if you're gonna make this game, make it a legit game, like. I mean, like, I'm not talking about like a full disc release at $60 because that's a harder thing that I should try to push. That's a lot more money put into it,
right?
For kind of like trying to get a more of a bigger crowd to get into
right.
it,
right? I'm saying, but like
I'm looking more like the $40 range, like the Xbox Arcade Marketplace where you got a legit game on there, you know, like a release like an early access style, but it's not like an Ark or a PUBG where it's like the game's being developed on there. You put it on there, it's an arcade game, but it's a legit game.
Right.
But it's just not as in-depth as a mass AAA fucking market. It's not an EA game. It's not a fucking Madden. It's...
Right.
But I think it's more than something you can put on your phone.
Yeah.
You have to do it correctly.
I just think that... So, Magic is well-known, you know, within the nerd community. But a lot of people who play video games don't really know about Magic, you know?
It doesn't really cross over unless you fucking know somebody gets into it.
Yeah, I mean, there is some crossover just because nerd stuff, you know? Yeah. But think about, like, somebody who has never really heard of Magic, or maybe they just kind of heard about it. And just like,
nerd thing.
You know,
like Dungeons and Dragons over the top.
You know, that fat guy John in high school who was playing with the foreign exchange student or, you know, whatever. Actually, I never saw anybody play Magic at my high school. It wasn't like a stereotype or nothing. That's a card game.
I got a buddy who's like a couple years older. I guess him and some friends played it at high school, but like when I was there, nobody played it.
Yeah, there was never that stereotype for me. Anyways, you know, just because it's not happening to us doesn't mean it's not happening out there somewhere. So I think that would just be a smash out of the park to introduce somebody just to the IP. You're not introducing them to the card game. You're introducing them to the characters. You're introducing them to Lightning Bolt, to fucking Counterspell.
That's all you need, though,
because
it holds its own in such a fantastic way that you get them into it by showing them Liliana, showing them Jace, showing them Chandra, showing them the moves they can make, the spells they can create.
Yeah.
And it holds so much weight that you're going to get them to go, well, maybe I want to try the card game now.
Yeah.
And that expands your whole money in the universe of what you're getting from these people coming in.
Because...
And you just got to get the fucking product enough of a face to say, hey, this is scratching the surface. You want to actually fucking get in in-depth play? Come do this in person.
Because, you know, you can promote all your Friday night magics all you want. You can do your fucking foil tokens and foil lands and your giveaways and your buy box promos. And that's doing nothing for people who don't know about magic. That's doing nothing for that. You can promote that all you want. That's already in the system. These people are already in the game.
I feel like they don't get that. I feel like they think that giving away these new tokens or this stuff for FNM. Like, yeah, Friday Magic Day, sure. Like, that does bring in some new people because that's one of the spots you can bring friends into or whatever. But it's not some mass draw of like, oh, this is where we're getting new people all the time now.
Right.
No, that's not how it works. People don't just jump into Magic. A friend brings them in.
Yeah.
And if you want a not friend to bring it in, I need a video game to do it.
Exactly. And so I think... And
or
also
a movie that they talked about forever.
Yeah, and the article goes on to talk about a whole bunch of other Magic-related stuff. You know how... Oh, geez, here we go. So this is a fun little concept. I have a lot of hope in Chris Cox, mm-hmm. I think is his name. Really pushing magic beyond the cards. That's what I'm hoping for. And I'm getting my hopes up a little bit. There's a little expectation, even previous to this article. But it talks about castles and boats. You know, while lifelong fans of D&D and Magic, Chris Cox is a lifelong fan of this, blah, blah, blah. He spent 8 years at Microsoft and Xbox and all that stuff. He was even involved with the Leapfrog, those educational games.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. I thought that was something. So he knew coming to Wizards of the Coast that the company had a lot going for it, but it wasn't aware of what sort of problems he wasn't aware what sort of problems he might face until after shortly joining.
Like a backwards compatibility mindset, a backwards thinking mindset. Compatibility is the wrong word. Understanding of the future.
Okay, so we've
done it this way for so many years. It's worked so long. Why change?
Exactly. So he's in this part right here. He's talking with Aaron Forsythe, the current director of Magic R&D. And basically, he says, Wizards of the Coast is really great at continuing games, but we've kind of lost our ability to create new ones. Not like new IPs, but just new games in general. You know, they're really good at pumping out magic sets and pumping out new monster manuals for fucking Dungeons & Dragons.
Got that down.
Yeah. So he talks about figuring out a new approach for the company. He landed on something he describes as castles and boats approach. Quote, "The castles are the big brands with large fan bases, high expectations, lots of history and lore. We spend a lot of resources on those. The boat is more of a test. It's very fast and very flexible. If a boat doesn't succeed, that's okay. You can launch a new one. D&D and Magic are both castles for us. In a game like the upcoming Transformers title is a boat." So he's not only talking about the big titles, he's talking about trying to do new ones. And also with those Magic, the core game is the card game. D&D, the core game is fucking sitting around with your fucking mm-hmm. dungeon master and all that. And the boats of those games is MTG Arena, is Puzzle Quest, is not EverQuest. Whatever the MMORPG of D&D was that I was talking
Never
about.
Neverwinter,
thank you. Those are kind of more boats because they're taking that IP property in there and they're
testing
shoving
it out,
into,
see what they can do with
it. Yeah, and they're shoving it into a new kind of form.
While still keeping the castle intact.
Yeah, while still keeping the castle intact, exactly.
Which is the most important to what your fan base of millions is.
Right, exactly. So he's talking, he goes on to talk about a lot of blah, 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 the Transformers. Then he's talking about Magic. So with Magic Arena, we're updating all of the underlying tech with new game rules, blah, 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 which I still think this is just going to be a better version of Duels, unfortunately. It's currently in beta. Beyond Arena, we have a series of other games that are on the drawing board, we are actively working on. Magic is a really cool fantasy franchise, and we haven't given people a good opportunity to explore it. When asked what sort of expansions would mean, he says movies, books, comic books, video games, just all those. We probably have a half a dozen video games in development in addition to Arena, from both us and from partners. So hopefully they're going to get the fuck out of the way because they like we just said, they pump out sets. They're really good at that. Yeah. They're really good at making the fucking cards. Get the fuck out of the way and let some other people take a stab at it. Get some fucking J.J. Abrams on that Star Wars type of shit,
Don't be fucking egotistical. Like, we know what we're doing. Like, no, you know what you're doing with the cards. Try something new. Like, take some advice. Let somebody else run with it. Don't be the overbearing, over-your-shoulder micromanaging asshole.
So they say, these games include everything from trading card games, probably Arena, to battlers, I don't know what that means, to role-playing games,
like
to strategy games.
Is a battler like a fighting game?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a MOBA type of thing? I have no idea. Then we're also working with partners like Fox on movie opportunities, and we're introducing new comic books next year with IDW. We're also exploring other opportunities like creating digital shorts. Finally, dude, how many years? I mean, we've only been playing since fucking Gatecrash and, you know, M15 or whatever. And how many times have I listened to a podcast or seen a tweet or seen fucking anything with somebody who's entrenched in Magic? And they're like, dude, just push the limits. Like, your Wizards of the Coast is stuck in this little fucking nest where they're being successful, but they're not expanding. Like, yeah. Don't you know how to promote yourself?
If you're not fucking advancing, if you're not... Not, that's not the word. If you're not fucking progressing, you're dying. Fucking, what is it?
Yeah, two steps forward, one step back. Yeah,
staying stagnant. I can't, I'm forgetting the cliche quote, but like, you know what I'm saying.
Right, right. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've heard this from a lot of people in the Magic community. Obviously, a lot of people think they know what they're talking about. We think we know what's best for Magic. Obviously, we don't because we're sitting in my stinky garage. But... it's just, it's been said so much in the community since we've just been playing.
I don't think it's that we don't think we know what's best, we know better than them. It's just we got some legit ideas that we feel like are legit ideas that aren't being explored that we just came up with on the spot, shit time back and forth. They have teams of people, like somebody fucking have this idea, right? Come on. Well, this is a fantastic idea. Somebody do something about it.
I mean, just like think about all the cartoons and games and books and series that came out of the 80s and 90s. And try a little bit of that to get the brand out there. I mean, for fuck's sakes, there was a Yo Noid video game. Was it Domino's? You know, or Pizza Hut? he was the mascot. And they made a fucking regular Nintendo game.
Like California Raisins.
California Raisins. I actually remember that. There was a 7-Up game. Yeah. The Red Spot. Yeah. You remember that shit? Holy fuck. These guys, these big companies.
The cool part is they could legit go backwards. Like, look at Stranger Things. The first thing they're doing is playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And like they do that, and they're doing the old style shooting. Do some shorts like that where you're talking about old school gameplay and then like transition to new stuff. Or make an old school like platformer game just for fun. Throw it on the fucking mobile.
Yes.
I'm fucking Jace running through, having to like go through Pitfall and jump around doing some magic shit. Like, just take a platform that's already been used and just throw some magic on it just to kind of move it along. Like I don't know. Like,
dude, throw some boats out there, man. Yeah. So that sounds...
And I think a retro game, retro magic game, like throwing back, like, this has been 25 years of this game. Like, here, this is our homage to old 80s games.
Exactly.
Why not?
So that,
well, I would buy that game.
That's where that turn-based RPG comes in. I'm talking about, like, top-down view, fucking side-scrolling sort of fucking old-school shit.
Like, real old-school. Okay.
Yeah, like the original Final... Or even, like, Final Fantasy for the Super Nintendo, you know what I mean? Like, that simple type of shit. It would be so easy.
There's a couple games... Fucking, I'm going to blank on it now. Never mind. There's a couple games like that were, like, Final Fantasy, like, that style.
Chrono Trigger. Secrets of Mana.
What's the one where you have, like, the little creatures... with you, and you, like you can like combine them to make better elemental creatures.
I don't remember.
Oh, dude, I forget. That's really good, though. Really fucking good. If you haven't played that one, you're gonna borrow from me. It's fucking, it's amazing.
So, I don't know. After I read this, I was like, this is an amazing idea. Or this is an amazing article. And I hope they just start throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And
you know, nothing's fast, so we gotta be patient. But still, it's just one of those, like, come on, guys. Come on. Come on.
And it's... We don't get that kind of... We haven't really heard stuff like this before from Wizards of the Coast. Yeah. It's like, oh, guess what? We're creating a new game that's gonna be like Magic, but you're not gonna be able to buy cards. You just gotta buy these packs and microtransactions.
Basically, you're talking about Puzzle Quest until it came out.
Basically, like, duels. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like... Duels is not that far of a stretch for Magic Online.
It's just an attempt to get new people into the game that want to play.
Yeah, Arena is not going to be that far of a stretch for Magic Online. These other opportunities, these battlers, these RPGs are going to be away from Magic. They're going to take that IP.
Bring
a new crowd in. So I'm stoked. I would love to try this. The battlers, the RPGs, hopefully a MMORPG. And I would just be a fanboy about it, you know, like whether it's good or not.
I'll buy every one of them.
Yeah, I will buy it up. I will lap it up.
We will review the fuck out of it on here. Yeah, like, take either greatness or shit about it.
Take our fucking money. Like, This is what we've been, what the Magic community has been just pining for. Yeah. Like, please, please take our money. Give us all this fucking random shit. It's going to be great. So we have that to look forward to in the future. I did read an article. I guess we'll save it for fucking next time. This isn't going to be... This was supposed to be our end of the year. We're going to talk about our resolutions from last year and our new ones for this coming year. But Hot Sauce had to dip out because of some sort of... His other dog was dying. I don't know what was happening about that.
Hopefully at least. Yeah.
But... So I think I'll go ahead and save that. I read a really cool article. I don't really read many pro articles, you know, articles made by pros. I'm just not into that fucking side, but there's a really interesting article that I'm going to talk about next week that really made you think and go, huh, okay. You know, it's kind of like...
It's not Social Justice Warrior involved, is it?
No. It's basically eking out that extra 0.51% of advantage.
Okay.
In your games.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's basically taking these little choices and magnifying them and going, hey, these matter to get that extra little advantage.
Yeah.
So it should be good to talk about, and hopefully you guys can read it before next cast. But I really want to play... I really want to play Nintendo Switch, so I kind of just want to wrap this up right now. And we have a very healthy, almost 3-hour cast.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it at all.
Yeah, it felt like...
I mean, not the health department, like the 3 hours. That's
yeah, felt like quick. It flew by, because we're just gabby little gooses. haven't seen each other in a while. So that's it for this episode of The Flans Could Kill. Please send us some funny stories, some whatever you want.
Help us ring in the new year, motherfuckers.
Yeah, for our new year episode, we'd love to hear some awesome stories from you guys. And like,
man, fuck that. You want a goddamn signed copy of 300 Goblin? We want some goddamn interaction from you. Fuck you.
Yeah, so...
we want to give these out. We just want some fucking talking on Twitter. We want some shit talking. We want some dead pics. You know how it goes. Just give us something.
Yeah, so like Hot Sauce said, we're easy to please. We're going to sign these cards and send them on out to you. So hit us up with your contact information. All of our information can be found in the show notes, which nobody probably reads. I never read people's show notes myself, so I don't know why I always put effort into it.
I read ours because you put little fucking like tidbits and hints and like Easter
eggs
in there.
Yeah, exactly. I put little something something. Yeah, yeah. A little touch here, a little touch there.
For
the cast. But, so anyways, that's it for this episode of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And...
Hot Sauce was here. Oh, this is not working.
Gonna burn it all down.
What the fuck is that?
Ah, it's so funny!
What you think you don't say out loud? You're too busy following the crowd. Criticize for the things you said. You can't.